minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2, X minus 1. Fire.
Lights out, everybody.
The creaking door.
Dimension X.
Inner Sanctum Mystery.
X minus one.
Dark fantasy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Horror, brought to you by Duane Old Time Radio. Sci-Fi and Horror features some of the best programs from the golden age of radio, including X-1, Orbiter X, Dimension X, Slot X's, Lights Out, Ray Bradbury, Dark Fantasy, and many, many more. Before we start today's sci-fi and horror thriller, if you enjoy what I'm doing, let me ask you to subscribe to my channel. Subscribing is 100% free, and you will receive notifications on new posts. Lastly, if you have a moment, please write a short one or two sentence review or give a rating on your preferred podcast service. A positive review or rating would help me out a lot. And now, on to the show. And again, thank you for your support.
For the next month, we're going to air, for the most part, a multi-part storyline from the famous science fiction writer Isaac Asimov. The story is titled The Foundation Trilogy. It is 8 parts. This week I'm going to air 3 parts. Each part is approximately 1 hour long, so you have plenty of listening. As I said, this week we're going to air 3 parts. Next week we're going to air 3 parts. Then we're going to take a 1 week break for the end of the month, and then we're going to come back next month and air the last 2 parts. So it's 3-3-2. And these 3 episodes for this week aired May 6th, May 13th, and May 20th, 1973 on BBC Radio.
Titan, Foundation. Foundation and Empire, Second Foundation. Author, Isaac Asimov. Part number 1. Part title, Psychohistory and Encyclopedia. Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition. Entry, Harry Seldon. Born the 11,988th year of the Galactic Era. Died 12,069. Birthplace, Helicon. Arcturus sector. He showed amazing ability in mathematics at a very early age. Anecdotes concerning his ability are innumerable and some contradictory. Undoubtedly, his greatest contributions were in the field of psychohistory. Seldon found the field little more than a set of vague axioms. He left it a profound statistical science. The best existing authority we have for the details of his life is the biography written by Garl Dornick, who, as a young man, met Seldon 2 years before the great mathematician's death.
The viewing room will be closed for the remainder of the trip. Prepare for landing, please.
Would it be possible for me to stay? I would like to see Trantor.
We'll be landing on Trantor by morning.
I mean, I want to see it from space.
I'm afraid not. If this were a space yacht, we might manage it, but we're spinning down Sunside. You wouldn't want to be burnt, blinded, and radiation scarred all at the same time, would you?
I see.
Trantor would only be a grey blur anyway.
Hmm.
Look, why don't you take a space tour once you get there? They're quite cheap.
I will. Thank you.
Right. You next?
Yes.
Right. Baggage. Visa. Right. Well, move on, Dornick. Take us to the right and third left.
Thank you.
Next.
Is that him?
Yes.
Good. Taxis to the right and third left.
Where to? Come on, where to?
A good hotel, please.
They're all good. Name one.
Well, the nearest one, please.
1.12.
Where do I go?
Follow the light track. Your ticket will keep glowing as long as you're going the right direction.
Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition, entry, Tantor. Center of the Imperial Government for unbroken hundreds of generations. Located in the central regions of the galaxy, among the most densely populated and industrially advanced worlds of the system. Land surface, 19,230,000,000 hectares. Totally urbanized. Population, 40 billions, devoted almost entirely to the administrative necessities of the Empire. Its dependence upon the outer worlds for food and indeed all the necessities of life made it increasingly vulnerable to conquest by siege. In the last millennium of the Empire, Imperial policy became little more than the protection of Trantor's delicate jugular vein.
It's obviously your first visit to Trantor. What do you think of it?
I don't know what to say. I've seen nothing like it before. I'll need time to soak it all in before I can give an opinion. This must seem a bit stupid to you. Trantorians must take it all for granted.
Trantorians never come up here. It gives them nerves.
Nerves? Why on earth should it do that?
If you're born in a cubicle, grow up in a corridor, work in a cell and holiday in a sunroom, then coming up into the open with nothing but sky over you might conceivably give you a nervous breakdown. How high do you think we are?
I don't know. 1,000 meters?
No. Just 150.
What? But the lift took ages.
I know. But it spent most of the time just getting up to ground level. Trantor is tunneled over 1,500 meters down. It's like an iceberg. 9/10 of it is out of sight. You here on holiday?
Not exactly. I've always wanted to visit Trantor, but I've come primarily for a job.
Oh?
With Dr. Selden's project at the University of Trantor.
Raven Selden?
No, Hari Selden, the psychohistorian. I don't know of any Raven Selden.
Hari's the one I mean. We call him Raven because he keeps predicting disaster.
What kind of disaster?
What kind would you think?
I'm afraid I wouldn't have the slightest idea. I've read the papers Dr. Selden has published, but they're on mathematical theory.
Yes. The ones they publish.
Look, I think I'd better go now. Very pleased to have met you.
Good afternoon.
Who are you? What are you doing in my room?
I am Hari Selden.
Good afternoon, sir.
You didn't think we were to meet before tomorrow?
No, sir.
Well, it's just that if we're to use your services, we must work quickly.
I don't understand.
Well, just relax and sit down.
Thank you.
You were talking to a man on the observation tower, were you not?
Yes. I met him in the lift.
His name is Gerald.
He's an agent from the Commission of Public Safety. He followed you from the spaceport.
But why?
Did he say nothing about me?
He referred to you as Raven Selden.
Did he say why?
He said that you predict disaster.
I do. What does Trantor mean to you?
Glorious.
You say that without thinking. What of psychohistory?
Psychohistory. That branch of mathematics that deals with the reactions of human conglomerates to fixed social and economic stimuli. Assumptions. 1. The human conglomerate be sufficiently large for valid statistical treatment. 2. The human conglomerate is itself unaware of psychohistorical analysis in order that its reactions be truly random.
I haven't thought of applying it to the problem.
Before you've done with me, you'll have learned to apply psychohistory to all problems as a matter of course. Now then, you see the function set up on the calculator?
Yes.
Well, that represents the condition of the empire at the moment.
Surely it's not a complete representation.
No, not complete. I'm glad to see you don't accept my word blindly. However, this is an approximation which will serve to demonstrate the proposition. Will you accept that?
Subject to my later verification of the derivation of the function, yes.
Good. Add to this the known probability of imperial assassination, viceregal revolt, the contemporary recurrence of periods of economic depression, the declining rate of planetary explorations. You see, incidentally, the new symbols on the calculator?
Yes.
This is Trantor 5 centuries from now. How do you interpret this function?
Total destruction. But that's impossible.
Right. You saw how the result was arrived at. Now, forget the symbolism for the moment. Put it into words.
As Trantor becomes more specialized, it becomes more vulnerable, less able to defend itself. Mm. Further, as it becomes more and more the center of empire, it becomes a greater prize.
Yes.
As the imperial succession becomes more and more uncertain and the feuds among the great families more rampant, social responsibility disappears.
Right. Now, what of the probability of destruction within 5 centuries? Oh, come on, surely you can perform a field differentiation without the calculator.
About 85%?
Not bad, but not good enough. The actual figure is 92.5%.
Raven Selden. I haven't seen any of this in your journals.
Of course not. This is unprintable. You suppose the Imperium could expose its shakiness in this manner? Some of our results have leaked out among the aristocracy.
That's bad.
Not necessarily. All is taken into account.
Then is that why I'm being investigated?
Yes, everything about my project is being investigated.
Are you in danger?
Oh, yes. There is a probability of 1.7% that I will be executed, but that, of course, would not stop the project. We've taken that into account as well. Never mind. You will meet me, I suppose, at the university tomorrow.
I will, sir. Well, goodbye. Yes?
Carl Dornick?
Yes?
I have to inform you that you are under detention at the order of the Commission for Public Safety. You will remain in your room until we are ready for your interrogation.
Sit down, Dr. Dornick.
Thank you.
You'll smoke if you wish. Now then, where do you come from, Dr. Dornick?
I'm from Synax.
I see. Now, I see from these papers that you are to join Dr. Selden's staff.
That's correct. I should be there now.
Yes, I know. But why were you invited to join the staff?
I'm not too sure, really. I got the invitation after receiving my doctorate in mathematics.
What are to be your duties?
I haven't the faintest idea. I expect I shall be informed when I get to the university.
Well, then, let me put it another way. What secret instructions have you received?
I don't know what you're talking about. I've had no instructions at all, either secret or not.
When will Trantor be destroyed?
I beg your pardon.
I said, when will Trantor be destroyed?
I couldn't say, of my own knowledge.
Could you say of anyone's?
How could I speak for another?
Has anyone told you of such destruction set a date? You have been followed, Doctor. We were at the airport when you arrived, on the observation tower when you waited for your appointment, and of course, we were able to overhear your conversation with Dr. Selden.
Then you know his views on the matter.
Perhaps. But we would like to hear them from you.
He is of the opinion that Trentor will be destroyed within 5 centuries.
He proved it, mathematically?
Yes, he did.
And you maintain the mathematics to be valid?
If Dr. Selden vouches for it, then it is valid.
Then we will return.
Wait. I have a right to a lawyer. I demand my rights as an imperial citizen.
And you shall have them.
Dr. Dornick?
Yes?
I am Laws Abbotin. Dr. Selden has directed me to represent you.
Is that so? Well then, look here. I demand an instant appeal to the Emperor. I'm being held without cause. I'm innocent of anything. You've got to arrange a hearing with the Emperor instantly.
The Commission will, of course, have a spy beam on our conversation. It's against the law, but they will have one nevertheless. However, this recorder has the additional property of completely blanketing any spy beam. They won't discover it at once.
Then I can speak?
Of course.
I want a hearing with the Emperor.
There are no hearings before the Emperor. Trantor is, I'm afraid, in the hands of the aristocratic families, members of which compose the Commission for Public Safety. A development which was well predicted by psychohistory.
Indeed. In that case, if Dr. Selden can predict the history of Trantor 500 years into the future...
He can predict it 1,500 years into the future.
I don't care if it's 15,000. Why couldn't he yesterday have predicted the events of this morning and warned me?
Dr. Selden was of the opinion that you would be arrested this morning.
What? Look, will you send Dr. Selden to me?
Unfortunately, I can't. Dr. Selden is himself under arrest. You will be tried together.
Let us see, Dr. Selden. How many men are now engaged upon the project of which you are head?
50 mathematicians.
Including Dr. Garl Dornick?
Dr. Dornick is the 51st.
Oh. We have 51, then. Search your memory, Dr. Selden. Perhaps there are 52 or 53, or perhaps even more.
Dr. Dornick has not yet formally joined my organization. When he does, the membership will be 51. It is now 50, as I have said.
Not perhaps nearly 100,000.
Mathematicians? No.
I did not say mathematicians. Are there 100,000 in all capacities?
In all capacities, your figure may be correct.
Maybe. I say it is. I say that the men in your project number 98,572.
I believe you're counting women and children.
98,572 individuals is the intent of my statement. There is no need to quibble.
I accept the figure.
Can the future be changed, Dr. Selden?
Obviously.
Can the overall history of human race be changed?
Yes.
Easily?
With great difficulty.
Why?
The psychohistoric trend of a planet full of people contains a huge inertia. To be changed, it must be met with something possessing a similar inertia.
So, Trantor need not be ruined if a great many people decide to act so that it will not.
That is right.
As many as 100,000 people?
That is far too few.
You're sure? But perhaps 100,000 people can change the trend if they and their descendants labor for 500 years.
500 years is too short.
In other words, Dr. Selden, they cannot prevent the destruction of Trenton no matter what they do.
You are unfortunately correct.
And on the other hand, your 100,000 are intended for no illegal purpose.
Exactly.
In that case, Dr. Selden, what is the purpose of your 100,000?
To minimize the effects of that destruction.
And what exactly do you mean by that?
The explanation is simple. The coming destruction of Trantor is not an event in itself, isolated in the scheme of human development. It will be the climax to an intricate drama which was begun centuries ago and which is accelerating in pace continuously. I refer, gentlemen, to the developing decline and fall of the Galactic Empire.
Dr. Selden, you are speaking of an empire that has stood for 12,000 years. Is it not obvious to everyone that the empire is as strong as it ever was?
Mr. Advocate, the rotten tree trunk, until the very moment when the storm blast breaks it in two, has all the appearance of strength that it ever had.
We are not here, Dr. Selden, to discuss.
The empire will vanish, and all its good with it. Its accumulated knowledge will decay, and the order it has imposed will vanish. Interstellar wars will be endless. Interstellar trade will decay. Population will decline. Worlds will lose touch with the main body of the galaxy. And so matters will remain.
Forever?
Psychohistory, which can predict the fall, can make certain statements concerning the succeeding Dark Ages. The Empire, gentlemen, has stood 12,000 years. The Dark Ages to come will endure not 12, but 30,000 years. A second empire will rise, but between it and our civilization will be 1,000 years of suffering humanity. We must fight that.
How do you propose to do this?
By saving the knowledge of the race. If we now prepare an encyclopedia of all knowledge, it will never be lost. Coming generations will build on it and will not have to rediscover it for themselves. One millennium will do the work of 30,000.
All this is
all my project. My 30,000 men with their wives and children are devoting themselves to the preparation of an Encyclopedia Galactica. They will not complete it in their own lifetime. I will not even live to see it fairly begun. But by the time Trantor falls, it will be complete, and copies will exist in every major library in the galaxy.
That is all, Dr. Selden. You may stand down.
Ah, Dr. Selden, this is a pleasure. Please sit down.
Thank you, Commissioner Chen.
Now then, what can I do for you?
You asked me to come and see you.
Ah, yes, so I did.
My lawyer is not present.
This is no longer a trial, Dr. Selden. We are only here to discuss the safety of the state. You disturb the peace of the Emperor's realm. Can you tell me why I may not rid myself both of you and an uncomfortable and unnecessary five-century future, which I shall never see, by having you executed tonight?
A week ago you might have done so, and perhaps retained the 1 in 10 probability of yourself remaining alive at year's end. Today the 1 in 10 probability is scarcely 1 in 10,000.
How so?
The fall of Trantor cannot be stopped, but it can easily be hastened. The news of my interrupted trial would spread throughout the galaxy. Frustration of my plans to lighten the disaster would convince people that the future holds no promise for them. The feeling would grow that only what a man can grasp for himself at the moment would be of any account. Ambitious men, unscrupulous men, will not wait. By their every action, they would hasten the decay of the worlds. Have me killed now, and Trantor will fall. Not within 5 centuries, but within 50 years, and you yourself within a single year.
Those are words to frighten children. However, your death is not necessarily the only answer that would satisfy us. Tell me, Would your only activity be that of preparing the encyclopedia of which you spoke?
Yes.
And need that be done on Trantor?
Trantor, my lord, possesses the Imperial Library as well as the scholarly resources of the University of Trantor.
And yet if you were located elsewhere, let us say upon a planet where your men could devote themselves entirely and single-mindedly to their work, might not that have advantages?
Minor ones, perhaps?
Such a world has been chosen, where you may work, Doctor, at your leisure with your 100,000 about you. The galaxy will know that you are working and fighting the fall. They will even be told that you will prevent the fall.
I see.
The alternative is death for yourself and as many of your followers as will seem necessary. The opportunity for choosing between death and exile is given you over a time period stretching from this moment to 1 5 minutes hence.
Which is the world chosen, my lord?
It is called, I believe, Terminus. It is uninhabited, but quite habitable, and can be molded to suit the necessities of scholars. It is somewhat secluded.
At the edge of the galaxy.
As I said, somewhat secluded. It will suit your concentration.
We will need time to arrange such a trip. There are 20,000 families involved.
You will be given time.
I accept exile.
Dr. Selden?
Yes?
I have been instructed to inform you that from now on you and all your people are under martial law, and that 6 months will be allowed you for preparations to leave Trantor.
Thank you, Captain.
6 months?
Now we can talk at our ease.
But, Doctor, what can be done in 6 months?
6 months will be quite enough.
I don't see how.
In a plan such as mine, other people's actions and wishes must be bent to our needs. The trial was not allowed to begin until the circumstances were right.
But could you have arranged...
To be exiled to Terminus? We've been preparing to leave for 2 years. Of course, we couldn't be certain that it would be Terminus that Chen would choose. But we hoped it might be, and we acted on that hope.
But why, Dr. Selden? May I not know?
Not yet. It is enough for the moment that you know that a scientific refuge will be established on Terminus. And another will be established at the other end of the galaxy. At Star's End. And as for the rest, you will see more than I. My doctors tell me that I cannot live more than a year or two. That I have accomplished in life what I intended. And under what circumstances may one better die?
And after you die?
There will be successors. Perhaps even yourself.
I don't understand.
You will. Most will leave for Terminus. Some will stay. It will be fairly simple to arrange. But as for me, I am finished.
Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition, entry, Terminus. The location of Terminus was an odd one for the role that it was called upon to play in galactic history, and yet in many ways an inevitable one. On the very fringe of the galactic spiral, an only planet of an isolated sun, poor in resources and of negligible in economic value, it was never settled in the 5 centuries after its discovery, until the landing of the encyclopedists. But within 50 years, as a new generation grew, it was inevitable that Terminus would become more than a mere appendage of the psycho-historians of Trantor. With the Anacreonian revolt came the rise to power of the first of the great line of mayors, Salvor Hardin.
Ah. Hardin, what is the matter with you? For the last 6 months, you've been getting edgier and edgier.
Just a growing feeling that everything isn't going the way that it should be. Look, Lee, it's 50 years now since Selden and Dornick dispatched our fathers to Terminus, and in all that time, we've never had any real idea of our reason for being here.
To compile the encyclopedia against the destruction of the Empire.
That's what we're told. But I'm none too certain. Selden must have intended us to do more than that. Population's growing, and all of it can't be used by the Foundation. Furthermore, the Empire doesn't seem to care about us. And now that the province of Anacreon has revolted against it, and furthermore defeated Smyrna in open battle, we are in a bad position.
You worry unnecessarily. The Board of Trustees knows what it's doing.
You think so?
Of course.
I wish I shared your confidence.
Well, if you're worried about the situation, why don't you go and see the chairman of the board? Well, after all, as mayor, you have some authority.
That's just the point. As mayor, I have no real authority at all.
Oh, really?
I admit that I deal with problems of taxation, agricultural policy, and so forth. But the major decisions, the ones that affect the state, are taken by the Board of Trustees. My word carries no weight whatsoever with them.
Nevertheless, I think they'd listen to you.
Would they?
Well, Louis Pirenne is a reasonable man.
Louis Pirenne is a fool. Oh. He can't see anything unless it's under his nose. Totally absorbed with the problems of producing their blasted books. He's not interested in anything except the encyclopedia. Anyway, I'll do as you advise. I'll go and see him tomorrow.
Good. I feel sure he'll listen to you.
He'd better do a damn sight more than that. If not, we shall have to try other tactics. The situation cannot be allowed to continue as it is.
What's your problem?
The royal governor of the province of Anacreon has assumed the title of king.
Well, what of it?
Now, that means we are cut off from the inner regions of the empire.
Is that so important?
Important. Anacreon stands square across our last remaining trade route. Where is our metal to come from? Pirenne, this is a matter of life and death. The planet Terminus by itself cannot support a mechanized civilization. You know that.
Yes, yes.
There hasn't a trace of iron, copper, or aluminium in any of the surface rocks. And precious little else. What do you think will happen to the encyclopedia if Anacreon clamps down on us?
Are you forgetting that we are under the direct jurisdiction of the Emperor himself?
So was Anacreon. And that's not all. At least another 20 of the outermost provinces of the galaxy have begun steering things their own way. I tell you, I feel damned uncertain of the Empire and its ability to protect us.
Nonsense. Royal governor or king? What's the difference? Forget it, Hardin. It's none of our business. We are first and last scientists, and our concern is the encyclopedia. Oh, yes. I almost forgot, Hardin. Do something about that newspaper of yours.
It isn't mine. It's privately owned. What's it been doing?
For weeks now, it's been recommended that the 50th anniversary of the Foundation be made the occasion for public holidays and quite inappropriate celebrations.
Well, why not? In 3 months, the radium clock will open the first vault. I'd call that quite a big occasion, wouldn't you?
Not for silly pageantry, Hardin. The first vault and its opening concerns the Board of Trustees alone. Anything of importance will be communicated to the people by me. I am the Emperor's representative on Terminus and have full powers in this respect.
I see. Well, Pirenne, in connection with your status as Emperor's representative, then, I have a final piece of news to give you.
About Anacreon?
Yes. A special envoy, Anselm Roderick, is being sent to us. In 2 weeks.
An envoy? Here? From Anacreon? What for?
I'll give you one guess.
Of course, all the formal discussions, the paper signing and such dull technicalities, that is, will take place before the... what is it you call your council?
The Board of Trustees.
Odd name. Anyway, that's for tomorrow. But we might as well clear some of the underbrush man-to-man right now, though. Don't you agree?
And that means...
Just this. There's been a certain change out here in the periphery, and the status of your planet has become a trifle uncertain. It would be very convenient if we succeeded in coming to an understanding as to how the matter stands.
Let me understand this, Your Eminence. Your mission is merely one of clarification.
That's correct.
In that case, it's soon over. We are a state-supported scientific institution and part of the Emperor's personal domain.
That's a nice theory, Dr. Peren, but what's the actual situation? How do you stand with respect to Smyrna? You're not 50 parsecs from their capital, you know. And what about Konom and Daribo?
We have nothing to do with any province.
They're not provinces, they are kingdoms, no?
Kingdoms, then. We have nothing to do with them. As a scientific institution...
Science be damned. The devil has that got to do with the fact that we're liable to see Terminus taken over by Smyrna at any time?
And the Emperor. He would just sit by.
Well, now, Dr. Peren, you respect the Emperor's property, and so do I. But Smyrna might not. Remember, we've just signed a treaty with the Emperor, which places upon us the responsibility of maintaining the borders of the old province of Anacreon on behalf of the Emperor. Our duty is clear, then, is it not?
Certainly. But Terminus is not part of the province of Anacreon.
And Smyrna?
Nor is it part of the province of Smyrna. It is not part of any province.
Does Smyrna know that?
I don't care what it knows.
But we do. We've just finished a war with her, and she still holds two stellar systems that are ours. Terminus occupies an important strategic position between the two nations.
And what is your proposition, Your Eminence?
It seems perfectly obvious that since Terminus cannot defend itself, Anacreon must take over the job. We believe that it would be best for all concerned to have Anacreon establish a military base here.
And that is all you would want? A military base in some of the vast, unoccupied territory?
Well, of course there would be the question of supporting the occupying forces.
Oh, I see. The Terminus is to be a protectorate and pay tribute.
Not tribute, taxes. We're protecting you, you pay for it.
Whatever.
Let me speak, Hardin. Your Eminence, I don't give a damn for Anacreon, Smyrna, your local politics and petty wars. I tell you, this is a tax-free, state-supported institution.
State-supported? But we are the state and we are not supporting.
Your Eminence, I am the direct representative of His
August... His August Majesty the Emperor. I am the direct representative of the King of Anacreon, and Anacreon is a lot nearer, Dr. Peren.
Gentlemen, let's get back to business. How would you take these so-called taxes, Your Eminence? Wheat, potatoes, vegetables, cattle?
You're joking. Gold, of course. Chromium or vanadium would be even better if you had it.
Chromium? Vanadium? We haven't even got iron. Here, take a look at our currency.
What is it? Steel?
That's right.
Don't understand.
The Terminus is a planet practically without metals. We import it all.
Well, you might pay with land.
What do you mean?
This world is just about empty, and the unoccupied land is probably fertile. We could doubtless come to some mutually satisfactory agreement.
Anacreon could supply us with plutonium for our atomic power plant. We have only a few years' supply left.
Harding,
you have atomic power.
Well, certainly. Well, what's unusual in that? I imagine that atomic power is 50,000 years old now. Why shouldn't we have? Except that it is a little difficult to get hold of plutonium.
Yes. Yes. Now, gentlemen, tomorrow I shall meet your board of trustees. For your own sakes, I would advise you to appraise them of the situation prior to my arrival. Should we not reach a mutually beneficial arrangement, I have to tell you that I shall return to Anacreon, and from then you will have precisely 3 months before I return with my troops, wanted or not. And now, if you'll excuse me, I wish you good night, gentlemen.
He is insufferable.
Not at all. Merely the product of his environment.
What did you mean by all that talk about military bases and tribute? Are you mad?
No. I merely gave him the opportunity to talk. You'll notice he managed to stumble out Anacreon's real intention. And naturally, I don't intend to let that happen.
Don't you? And who the hell are you? And may I ask why you mentioned our atomic power plant? It's just the thing that would make us a military target.
Yes, a military target to avoid. Isn't it obvious why I brought the subject up? It confirmed a very strong suspicion I had.
What?
That Anacreon no longer has atomic power. If they had, Roderick would have known that plutonium, except in ancient traditions, is used in power plants. And therefore it follows that the rest of the periphery no longer has it either. Certainly Smyrna hasn't. Or they would have defeated Anacreon in their last little encounter. Interesting. Back to oil and coal, are they?
Oh, gentlemen, I think you all know our mayor, Selwar Hardin. Hardin, may I introduce the members of the Board of Trustees? Thomas Soot.
Hardin.
Njord Farah.
Hardin.
Lundin Crest.
Hardin.
And Yate Fulham.
Hardin.
Mm-hmm. Now then, gentlemen, I find it very gratifying to be able to inform the board that since our last meeting, I have received word that Lord Dorwin, Chancellor of the Empire, will arrive at Terminus in 2 weeks. It may be taken for granted that our relations with Anacreon will be smoothed out to our complete satisfaction as soon as the Emperor is informed of the situation.
Leaving vague expressions out of account, what do you expect Lord Dorwin to do?
It is quite evident that Mayor Hardin is a professional cynic. He can scarcely fail to realize that the Emperor would be most unlikely to allow his personal rights to be infringed.
Why? What would he do if they were? I'd like to ask a question. Besides this stroke of diplomacy, has anything been done to meet the Anacreonian menace?
Oh, you see a menace there, do you?
Don't you?
Hardly. The Emperor...
What is this? Every once in a while, someone mentions Emperor, empires, if there were magic words. The Emperor is 50,000 parsecs away, and I doubt whether he gives a damn about us. No. We have to fight with guns, not words. Yes. We've had 2 months' grace so far, mainly because we've given Anacreon the idea that we have atomic weapons, which, as we all know, isn't true. It's all very well to drag chancellors into this, but it would be much nicer to drag in a few great big siege guns armed with atomic warheads.
No, I agree with that.
Building armaments would mean withdrawing men from the encyclopedia. Mm. That cannot be done, come what may.
Very true. The encyclopedia first, always. Why, in 5 years' time, we shall be publishing the first volume. Nothing must be allowed to interfere with that.
Has it ever occurred to this board that it's just possible that Terminus may have interests other than the encyclopedia? You don't understand the situation. There's a good million of us here. And not more than 150,000 are working directly on the encyclopedia. To the rest of us, this is home. We were born here. We're living here. Compared with our homes, our farms, our factories, the encyclopedia means little to us. We want them protected.
The encyclopedia first. We have a mission to fulfill.
That might have been true 50 years ago, but there is a new generation.
That has nothing to do with it. We are scientists.
You are not scientists. You're clerks, classifying the work of scientists of the last millennium. Have you ever thought of extending their knowledge? No. You're quite happy to stagnate like the rest of the galaxy. That's why we have revolts, breakdown of communications, loss of atomic power. The whole galaxy is crumbling to bits.
I don't know what you're trying to gain by your hysterical statements, Hardin. Certainly you're adding nothing constructive to the discussion.
Haven't we forgotten something, gentlemen?
What?
In a month, we celebrate our 50th anniversary.
What of it?
On that anniversary, Harry Selden's vault will open. Have you ever considered what might be in the vault?
I don't know. Routine matters, the stock speech of congratulations. I don't think any great significance need be placed on the vault.
But perhaps you're wrong. Doesn't it strike you that the vault is opening at a very convenient time?
Very inconvenient time, you mean. We have other things to worry about.
Other things more important than a message from Harry Selden? I think not. The encyclopedia was very dear to his heart, you know.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, what do you think of the vault?
I don't know, Farr. I really don't know.
Ah, Lord Dorwin, there you are.
Ah, Hardin, you were looking for us, no doubt. A great achievement, this encyclopedia of yours, Hardin.
Thank you, my lord.
The section on archaeology is marvellous, truly marvellous. You're not by any chance interested in archaeology yourself, are you, Hardin?
No, my lord, I can't say I am.
Oh, pity, it's a fascinating subject. I've done an awful amount of work in the science, extremely well read, in fact. I've gone through all of them. Jordan, Obidjassy, Lammoth. Now, Lammoth, for instance. He presents a new and most interesting addition to my knowledge of the origin question. He tries to show that archaeological remains on the third planet of the Arcturian system show that humanity existed there before there were any indications of space travel.
Really?
But I must read it closely and weigh the evidence before I can say for certain.
Why not go to Arcturus and study the remains for yourself?
whatever for, my dear fellow?
To get the information firsthand, of course.
But where's the necessity? It seems an uncommonly roundabout way of getting anywhere. How insufferably crude it would be to go to Arcturus and blunder about when the old masters have covered the ground so much more effectively than we could possibly hope to do.
I see.
Milord, may I ask you a question? Oh, certainly, my dear fellow. Only too happy to be of service. My store of knowledge is small.
Well, it isn't exactly about archaeology, Milord.
Oh, well, never mind. What is it?
Well, last year we received news here on Terminus of an explosion of a power plant on Planet 5 of Gamma Andromeda.
Yes.
We got only the barest details of the accident. I wonder if you could tell me exactly what happened.
Well, there isn't very much to tell. The plant exploded. It was quite a catastrophe, you know. I believe several million people were killed and at least half the planet was laid in ruins.
Yes, but what was wrong with the plant?
Well, really, who knows? It had broken down some years previously, and it's thought that the replacements and repair work were inferior. It's so difficult to get technicians now who really understand these things.
You realize that the independent powers of the periphery have lost atomic power altogether?
I'm not at all surprised. Barbarous planet. Oh, but my dear fellow, you mustn't call them independent. They aren't, you know. They acknowledge the sovereignty of the Empire. They'd have to, of course, or we wouldn't treat them.
Well, that may be so, but they have considerable freedom of action.
Yes, I suppose so, but that scarcely matters. The Empire's far better off with the periphery thrown upon its own resources. They're no good to us, you see. Barbarous planets, quite uncivilized.
Lee, this can't go on. This incredible vacillation on the part of the Board of Trustees. Not one of them seems capable of making a rational decision. And as for Lord Darwin, if they really think that either he or the word of the Empire count for anything, they must be even more insular than I suspected.
Lord Darwin is a very accomplished diplomat.
Precisely. Look, Lee, will you do something for me?
What?
Take these microtapes and have them subjected to a thorough analysis by symbolic logic. Can you do that?
Yes. What do they contain?
You'll see.
Very well. When do you want the analysis?
Tomorrow morning, when I meet the board.
What will you say to them?
That depends upon the result of the analysis. But if these tapes contain what I think they do, then I shall have no alternative but to assume power myself.
Hardin, you're going to stage a coup and force the Board of Trustees out.
No, Lee, not force them out. Simply supersede them. Someone has to have sole power when the crunch comes, and I'm better equipped than anyone else. Are you with me?
Yes, Hardin, I'm with you.
So, gentlemen, it turned out we didn't have much time after all. Lord Roderick gave us 3 months, but little as it was, we threw it away, unused. And this new Anacreonian ultimatum gives us 1 week. What do we do now?
There must be a loophole. It is absolutely unbelievable that they would push matters to extremities in the face of what Lord Darwin has assured us regarding the attitude of the Emperor and the Empire.
I see. You have, of course, informed the King of Anacreon of this alleged attitude?
I have. After having placed the proposal to the board for a vote and having received unanimous consent.
And when did this vote take place?
I don't believe that I am answerable to you in any way, Mayor Hardin.
All right. I'm not that vitally interested. It's just my opinion that it was your diplomatic transmission of Lord Darwin's valuable contribution to the situation that was the direct cause of this friendly little ultimatum.
And just how do you arrive at that remarkable conclusion, Mr. Mayor?
Quite simply, common sense. You see, there's a branch of human knowledge known as symbolic logic, which can be used to prune away all sorts of dead wood that clutters up human language.
What about it?
I applied it. Among other things, I applied it to this document here. I didn't really need to for myself because I knew what it was all about. But I think I can explain it more easily to 5 scientists by symbols rather than words. This message from Anacreon was a simple problem, naturally.
The men who wrote it were men of action rather than men of words. And it boils down quite simply to the straightforward and unqualified statement, you give us what we want within a week, or we beat the hell out of you and take it anyway. No loophole there, is there, Dr. Perrell?
There doesn't seem to be.
All right. Before you now, you see a copy of the treaty between the Empire and the Nakri. As you see, gentlemen, something like 90% of the treaty cancels out in the analysis. And what we end up with can be described in the following interesting manner. Obligation of Anacreon to the Empire? None. Powers of the Empire over Anacreon? None.
That seems to be correct.
You admit, then, that the treaty is nothing but a total declaration of independence on the part of Anacreon and a recognition of that status by the Empire?
It seems so.
And do you suppose that Anacreon doesn't realize that? That it would naturally tend to resent any appearance of threats from the Empire, particularly when it's evident that the Empire is powerless to carry out any such threats, or it would never have allowed independence?
But then, how would you account for Lord Darwin's assurances of Empire support?
You know, that's the most interesting part of the whole business. I thought his lordship an absolute ass when I first met him. But it turns out he was actually a most accomplished diplomat and a very clever man. I took the liberty of recording all his statements, and then I took them and had them analyzed.
And?
After I'd succeeded in eliminating all the meaningless statements, vague gibberish, useless qualifications, I found I had nothing left. Everything cancelled out. Lord Darwin, in 5 days of discussion, didn't say one damn thing. We have 1 week left. What do we do now?
It seems that we have no choice but to allow Anacreon to establish military bases on Terminus.
I agree with you there. But what do we do towards kicking them off again at the first available opportunity?
That sounds as if you've made up your mind that violence must be used against them.
Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent. But I certainly don't intend to put out the welcome mat and dust off the best furniture for them.
I still don't like the way you put that. It is a dangerous attitude. Our policy has but one cardinal principle. And that is the encyclopedia. Whatever we decide to do or not to do will be decided because it will be the measure required to keep that encyclopedia safe.
Then you have come to the conclusion that we must continue our intensive campaign of doing nothing.
You have demonstrated that the Empire cannot help us, though how it can be so, I don't understand. If compromise...
There is no compromise. Don't you realize that all this talk about military bases is utter nonsense?
So we've gone quite far enough, I think. There seems no point in concealing that the board came to the decision that the real solution to the Anacreonian problem lies in what is to be revealed to us when the vault opens in 6 days from now.
We are to do nothing, is that right, except to wait in quiet serenity and utter faith for the deus ex machina to pop out of the vault?
Stripped of your emotional physiology, that is correct.
Such subtle escapism. Really, Dr. Farrar, such folly smacks of genius. Would it surprise you to hear that I have given the matter considerable thought these last few weeks?
With what result?
With the result that pure deduction is found wanting. What is needed is a little sprinkling of common sense.
For instance?
Seldon foresaw the Anacreonian threat. Why did he not have us placed in some other planet, nearer the galactic center? Why put us here, on Terminus, if he could see in advance the break in communication, our isolation from the Empire, the threat of our neighbors? If he could foresee the problem then, we should be able to find the solution now.
But Hardin, we can't.
But you haven't tried. You haven't tried once. First you refused to admit that there was a menace at all, and then you reposed a blind faith in the Emperor. Now you've shifted it to Hari Seldon. Throughout, you've invariably relied either on authority or on the past, never on yourselves, and that's wrong. We sit here considering the encyclopedia the be-all and end-all. We consider the greatest end of science is the classification of past data. It's important, but is there no further work to be done? We're receding and forgetting. Here in the periphery, they've lost atomic power. In Gamma Andromeda, a power plant's blown up because of poor repairs. The chance of the Empire complains that atomic technicians are scarce. And the solution? To train new ones? Never. Instead, they're to restrict atomic power. Don't you see it's a worship of the past? It's a deterioration, stagnation.
Well, philosophy isn't going to help us. Let us be concrete. Do you deny that Hardy Seldon could easily have worked out historical trends of the future by simple psychological technique?
No, of course not. But we mustn't rely on him for a solution. At best, he might indicate the problem. But if ever there's to be a solution, we must work it out ourselves.
What do you mean, indicate the problem? We know the problem.
You think you do. You think Anacreon is all that Hardy Seldon is likely to be worried about. I disagree. I tell you, gentlemen, that as yet none of you has the faintest conception of what is really going on.
Now look, there must be no hesitation. Do you understand that, Lee? No time to allow them to grasp the situation. Once we're in a position to give orders, give them as they were born to do so, and they'll obey you out of habit.
But if the board remained irresolute...
After tomorrow, their position in the affairs of Terminus won't exist.
You know, it's strange that they've done nothing to stop us so far. You say they weren't entirely in the dark.
Farah stumbled at the edges of the problem. And Peren's been suspicious of me ever since I was elected. But you see, they never had the capacity of understanding what was really going on. Their whole training has been authoritarian. They're sure that the Emperor, just because he is the Emperor, is all-powerful. They're sure that the Board of Trustees, acting in the name of the Emperor, cannot be in a position where it cannot give the orders. And that incapacity to recognize the possibility of revolt as our greatest ally. They're not bad fellows, Lee. You're when they stick in the encyclopedia. And we'll see to it that that's where they do stick in the future. They're hopelessly incompetent when it comes to ruling Terminus. Anyway, you'd better go and start things rolling. Tomorrow in the Time Vault, we'll know what to expect.
I'm Hari Seldon. I can't see you, so I can't greet you properly. If any of you are standing, please sit down. It is 50 years now since this foundation was established. 50 years in which the members of the foundation have been ignorant of what it was they were working towards. It was necessary that they be ignorant. But now that necessity is gone. The encyclopedia is, and always has been, a fraud. It is a fraud in the sense that neither I nor my colleagues care at all whether a single volume of the encyclopedia is ever published. In the 50 years that you have worked on this fraudulent project, your retreat has been cut off. And you now have no choice but to proceed on the infinitely more important project that was and is our real plan. From now on, and into the centuries, the path that you must take is inevitable. You will be faced with a series of crises, as you are now faced with the first. And in each case, your freedom of action will become circumscribed, so that you will be forced along one and only one path. The path which our psychology has worked out. Somewhere in the 50 years just past is where the historians of the future will place an arbitrary line and say, this marks the fall of the Galactic Empire. After this fall will come inevitable barbarism. A period which psychohistory tells us should last for 30,000 years. We cannot stop the fall, but we can shorten the period of barbarism. The ins and outs of that shortening we cannot tell you, just as we could not tell you the truth about the Foundation 50 years ago. Had you known the truth, your knowledge would have extended, your freedom of action expanded, and the additional variables would have been more than our psychology could handle. But this I can tell you. Terminus and its companion foundation at the other end of the galaxy are to be the seeds and founders of the Second Galactic Empire. And it is the present crisis that is starting Terminus off towards that climax. This, by the way, is a rather straightforward crisis, much simpler than many of those that are ahead. Action is forced on you. The nature of that action, that is the solution to your dilemma, is of course obvious. But whatever course your future history may take, impress it always upon your descendants that the path has been marked out and that at its end is a new and greater empire.
If you will see us tonight at 6, the board will consult with you as to the next move.
Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition. Entry, Board of Governors, subscript. Serval Harding's foresight meant that Lee's men were already in control, and the board was giving orders no longer. And in 6 months, the Anacreonian invaders were also not giving orders. The solution to this first Selden crisis had been obvious. This was the beginning of the great line of the Mares. Title, Foundation. Foundation and Empire, Second Foundation. Author, Isaac Asimov. Audio adaptation, Patrick Tarr. Part number one. Title, Foundation. Foundation and Empire, Second Foundation. Author, Isaac Asimov. Part number two. Part title, The Mares. Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition. Entry, The Four Kingdoms. The name given to those portions of the province of Anacreon, which broke away from the First Empire in the early days of the Foundation Era to form independent and short-lived kingdoms. The largest and most powerful of these was Anacreon itself. Undoubtedly, the most interesting aspect of the Four Kingdoms involved the strange society forced temporarily upon it during the administration of Salvor Hardin.
Better come in, Lee. I need one person on my side of the fence.
I don't see why we need waste time with them.
They can't do anything until the next election. Legally, anyway. That gives us a year.
Give them a brush off, Lee. You'll never learn. In the 30 years I've known you, you've never once learned the gentle art of sneaking up from behind.
Not my way of fighting.
Yes, I know that. I suppose that's why you're the one man I trust. Come a long way since we engineered the coup against the encyclopedists. Mm. Getting old. 52. Do you ever think how fast those 20 years went?
Well, I don't feel old, and I'm 56.
Yes, but I don't have your digestion.
Well, they're here. Where will you see them?
Here.
Oh, you're making them too important.
Why go through all the ceremonies of an official mayor's audience? I'm getting too old for all that red tape. Besides which, flattery is useful when you're dealing with youngsters, particularly when it doesn't commit you to anything. Sit down. Give me your moral backing. I'll need it with this young fellow, Cermak.
Cermak's dangerous, Harding. He's got quite a following. Don't underestimate him.
Have I ever underestimated anybody?
Well, then, have him arrested. You can charge him with something later.
Here they are. Ah, come in, gentlemen. Councilman Cermak, I've been anxious to see you ever since your very excellent speech last month. Your attack on the foreign policy of this government was a most capable one.
Your interest honors me. The attack may or may not have been capable, but it was certainly justified.
Perhaps. You're entitled to your opinions, of course. Still, you are rather young.
It is a fault that most people are guilty of at some point in their lives. You became mayor of the city when you were 2 years younger than I am now.
Yeah, I take it that you've come to see me now about the same foreign policy that annoyed you so greatly in the council chamber. Are you speaking for your colleagues, or must I listen to each of you separately?
I speak for the people of Terminus, who are not truly represented in the rubber stamp body called the council.
I see. Go ahead.
It comes to this, Mr. Mayor. We are dissatisfied...
By we? I take it you mean the people.
I believe that my views represent the majority of the voters on Terminus.
Yes, sir.
Does that suit you?
Well, a statement like that's always the better for proof, but continue. You are dissatisfied.
Yes. We are dissatisfied with the policy which for 20 years has been stripping Terminus defenseless against the inevitable attack from outside.
I see. Therefore?
It's nice of you to anticipate. And therefore, we are forming a new political party. One that will stand for the immediate needs of Terminus, and not for some mystic manifest destiny of future empire. We are going to throw you and your clique out of City Hall.
Unless. There's always an unless, you know.
Not much of one in this case. Unless you resign now. I'm not asking you to change your policies. I wouldn't trust you that far. Your promises are worth nothing. An outright resignation is all we'll take.
I see. That's your ultimatum. Well, nice of you to give me warning. But you see, I rather think that I shall ignore it.
Don't think it was a warning, Mr. Mayor. It was an announcement of principles and action. The new party has already been formed, and it will begin its official activities tomorrow. There is neither room nor desire for compromise. And frankly, it was only our recognition of your services to the city that induced us to offer you the easy way out. I didn't think you'd take it, but now my conscience is clear. The next election will be a more forcible and quite irresistible reminder that resignation is necessary. Good morning.
Yeah, hold on. Sit down. In exactly what way do you want our foreign policy changed? I mean, do you want us to attack the Four Kingdoms now, at once, simultaneously?
It is our simple proposition that all appeasement must cease immediately. Throughout your administration, you have carried out a policy of scientific aid to the kingdoms. You have given them atomic power. You have helped rebuild power plants on their territories. You have established medical clinics, chemical laboratories, and factories.
Well, what's your objection?
You have done this in order to stop them attacking us. With these as bribes, you have been playing a colossal game of blackmail, in which you have allowed Terminus to be sucked dry, with the result that we are now at the mercy of these barbarians.
In what way?
Because you have given them power, given them weapons, actually serviced the ships of their navies, they are infinitely stronger than they were 2 decades ago. Their demands are increasing, and with their new weapons, they will eventually satisfy all their demands at once by violent annexation of Terminus. Isn't that the way that blackmail usually ends?
Of course. And your remedy?
Stop the bribes immediately, while you still can. Spend your effort in strengthening Terminus itself, and attack first.
Are you finished?
For the moment.
Well, then, do you notice the maxim on the wall behind me? Violence is the last refuge of the incompetent.
An old man's doctrine, Mr. Mayor.
No, I applied it as a young man, Mr. Councilman, and successfully. You were probably busy being born when it happened, but perhaps you may have read something of it when you were at school. Anacreon then, as now, the most powerful of the four kingdoms, demanded and actually established a military base upon Terminus. And the then rulers of the city, the encyclopedists, knew very well that this was only a preliminary to taking over the entire planet. That is how matters stood when I assumed actual government. What would you have done?
Well, that's an academic question. Of course, I know what you did.
But perhaps you don't get the point. The temptation was great to muster what force we could put up a fight. What I did instead was to visit the three other kingdoms one by one, point out to each that to allow the secret of atomic power to fall into the hands of Anacreon was the quickest way of cutting their own throats, and suggest gently that they do the obvious thing, that was all. 1 month after the Anacreonian force had landed on Terminus, their king received an ultimatum from his three neighbors, and in 7 days, the last Anacreonian was off Terminus. Now tell me, where was the need for violence?
I fail to see the analogy.
You still seem unable to grasp the fundamental necessities of our position. Our problems weren't over with the departure of the Anacreonians. They'd just begun. The four kingdoms were more our enemies than ever, for each wanted atomic power, and each was kept off our throats only for fear of the other three. We were balanced on the point of a very sharp sword. The slightest sway in any direction, if, for instance, one kingdom becomes too strong, or if two form a coalition, you understand?
Certainly. That was the time to begin all-out preparations for war.
That was the time to begin all-out prevention of war. I played them one against the other. I helped each in turn. I offered them science, trade, education, medicine. I made Terminus more valuable to them as a flourishing world than as a military prize. It has worked for 20 years.
Yes, but you were forced to surround these scientific gifts with the most outrageous mummery. You've made half religion, half balderdash out of it. You've erected a hierarchy of priests and complicated, meaningless rituals.
What of it? I started that way at first because the barbarians looked upon our science as a sort of magical sorcery. It was easier to get them to accept it on that basis. It's a minor matter.
But these priests are in charge of the power plants. That's not a minor matter.
True, but we've trained them. Their operational knowledge is purely empirical. And they have a firm belief in the mummery that surrounds it.
But if someone breaks through the mummery, what is to prevent him learning actual techniques and selling out to the most satisfactory bidder? What price are value of the kingdoms then?
No chance of that, sir. The best men on the planets of the kingdoms are sent here to Terminus each year and are educated into the priesthood. And the best of these remain here as research students. If you think that those who return with the distorted knowledge the priests receive can penetrate and abound to atomic power, you have a very romantic and foolish idea of science.
Mr. Mayor, a message for you.
Thank you. Set it up on the scanner. In short, gentlemen, the government is of the opinion that it knows what it is doing.
Yes.
Thank you. Clear the message. And that, gentlemen, concludes the interview. Thank you for coming. How far do you think he'll go?
I'm not sure. But treat him with kid gloves and he's quite liable to win the next election just as he says.
Oh, quite likely. Very likely. If nothing happens first.
Cermak has a following. What if he doesn't wait until the next election? There was a time when you and I put things through violently, despite your slogan about what violence is.
Ours was a necessary measure, put through at the proper moment and went over smoothly, painlessly, and all but effortlessly. As for Cermak, he's up against a different proposition. You and I, Lee, aren't the encyclopedists. We stand prepared. However, put your men onto these youngsters in a nice way. Don't let them know they're being watched.
Cermak and his men have been under surveillance for a month now.
All right. By the way, Ambassador Verisov is returning from Anacreon.
Was that the message?
Yes.
Are things breaking already?
I don't know. I can't tell until I've heard what Verisov has to say. They may be, though. What are you looking so worried about?
Because I don't know how it's going to turn out. You're too deep, Hardin. And you're playing the game too close to your chest.
And how was the trip, Verisov?
Interesting. There was a priest in the next cabin who, on his way here to take a course in the preparation of radioactive synthetics for the treatment of cancer.
Surely he didn't call it radioactive synthetics?
Certainly not. To him it was the holy food. He inveigled me into a theological discussion and did his level best to elevate me out of my sordid materialism.
One never recognized his own high priest.
Without my crimson robe. Besides, he was a Smyrnian. It was an interesting experience, though. It's remarkable, Hardin, how the religion of science has caught on. I've written an essay on the subject.
Really?
Well, I'm trying it for my own amusement. It wouldn't do to have it published. Treating the problem sociologically, it would seem that when the old empire began to rot at the fringes, science as science failed the outer world. To be reaccepted, it would have to present itself in another guise, and it has done just that. Oh, it works out beautifully when you use symbolic logic to help out.
Interesting. Now, what about the situation on Anacreon?
Bad.
Obviously. Otherwise you wouldn't be here.
Here's the position. The key man on Anacreon is the Prince Regent Vinus. He's King Leopold's uncle.
I know. But Leopold is coming of age soon, isn't he?
Yes, if he lived. His father died under suspicious circumstances. A needle bullet through the chest during a hunt. It was called an accident.
Yes. I remember Vinus when I was on Anacreon, or before your time. Let's see now. If I remember, he was a dark young man. Black hair and a squint in his right eye. And he had a hooked nose.
That's him. The hook and the squint are still there, but his hair's grey now. He plays the game dirty. Luckily, he's the most egregious fool on the planet. But he has unlimited self-confidence.
Probably an overcompensated inferiority complex. Younger sons of royalty get that way, you know.
That amounts to the same thing. He's foaming at the mouth with eagerness to attack the Foundation. Scarcely troubles to conceal it. And he's in a position to do it, too, from the standpoint of armament. The old king built up a magnificent navy. And Vinus hasn't been exactly sleeping the last couple of years.
All right, then. I've got the background. What has actually happened?
Well, 2 weeks ago, an Anacreonian merchant ship came across a derelict cruiser of the old Imperial Navy. Must have been drifting in space for at least 3 centuries.
Yes, I heard about it. Board of Navigation has sent me a petition asking me to obtain the ship for the purposes of study. It's in good condition, I understand.
In entirely good condition. When Vinus received your suggestion last week that he turn the ship over to the Foundation, he almost had convulsions.
Hasn't answered.
He won't, except with guns. You see, he came to me on the day I left Anacreon and requested that the Foundation put this battle cruiser into fighting order and turn it over to the Anacreonian Navy. He had the infernal gall to say that your note of last week indicated a plan of the Foundation to attack Anacreon.
Oh.
He said that a refusal to repair the cruiser would only confirm his suspicions and indicated that measures for the self-defense of Anacreon would be forced upon him. Of course, he expects a refusal. That would be a perfect excuse in his eyes for immediate attack.
Well, we have at least 6 months to spare. So have the ship fixed up, presented with my compliments. Have it renamed the Vinus as a mark of our esteem and affection.
I suppose it's a logical step. I'm still worrying.
What about?
That ship's cubic capacity is half again that of the entire Anacreonian Navy. It's got atomic power blasts capable of blowing up a planet, and a shield that can take a cube beam without working up radiation.
Superficial, Verisov, superficial. You and I both know that the armament Vinus has now could defeat Terminus. Long before we could repair the cruiser for our own use. Well, what does it matter then if we give him the cruiser as well? You know it won't ever come to actual war.
Well, I suppose not, but look, this isn't anything to do with me, I know, but I've been watching the Visicasts. What's all this about a group of councilmen forming a new political party? Look, Hardin, I know that you're in better touch with internal matters than I am.
But they're attacking you with everything short of physical violence. How strong are they?
Strong? Probably control the council after the next election.
Not before. There are ways of gaining control besides election.
What do you take me for? Vinus?
No, but repairing the ship will take months. And an attack after that is certain. The addition of the Imperial cruiser will just about double the strength of their navy. They're bound to attack. So why take chances? Either reveal the plan of campaign to the council, or force the issue with Anacreon now.
That's the one thing I mustn't do. There's Hari Seldon and a plan, you know.
I'm absolutely sure, then, that there is a plan.
Well, there can scarcely be any doubt. Now, I was present at the opening of the Time Vault, and Seldon's recording revealed it then.
No, I didn't mean that, Harding. I just don't see how it could be possible to chart history for 1,000 years ahead. Maybe Seldon overestimated himself. Well, I'm no psychologist.
Exactly. None of us are. But I did receive some elementary training in my youth, enough to know what psychology is capable of, even if I can't exploit his capabilities myself. There is no doubt that Seldon did what he claims to have done.
Well, everybody knows the way things are supposed to go, but can we afford to take chances? Can we risk the present for the sake of a nebulous future?
We must, because the future isn't nebulous. It's been calculated by Seldon and charted. He said in the Time Vault that at each crisis our freedom of action will become circumscribed to the point where only one course of action was possible.
So as to keep us on the straight and narrow?
Yes. But conversely, so long as more than one course of action is possible, the crisis has not been reached. We must let things drift so long as we possibly can, and that's what I intend doing. I would rather not have told you about this.
Why not?
Because there are now 6 people. You and I, other 3 ambassadors, and Johan Lee, who have a fair notion of what's ahead. And I'm certain it was Seldon's idea to have no one know.
Why, sir?
Because Seldon wanted us to proceed blindly, according to the law of mob psychology. As I once told you, I never knew where we were heading when I drove out the Anacreonians. My idea had been to maintain the balance of power, no more than that. It was only afterwards that I thought I saw a pattern in it. But I've done my level best not to act on that knowledge. Action due to foresight would have interfered with the plan.
Then how do you expect to spot the right moment for action?
It's spotted already. You admit that once we repair the battlecruiser, nothing will stop Vinus from attacking us? There will no longer be any alternative in that respect?
Yes.
All right. That accounts for the external aspect. You'll further admit that the next election will see a new and hostile council that will force action against Anacreon? There is no alternative there.
No.
So, as soon as the alternatives disappear, the crisis has come.
I see.
There's one thing that worries me. I've got the idea, it's just a notion, that the external and internal pressures were planned to come to a head simultaneously. As it is, there's a few months' difference. Vinus will probably attack in 6 months, but the elections are still a year off.
Is 6 months' difference that important?
I don't know. Anyway, there's one thing I have decided.
What's that?
When the crisis does begin to break, I'm going to be on Anacreon.
Climbing to the sun. And over. Can I catch him under the wing? Got him. Up he goes. And the dive? Will he dive? Yes, here he comes. And got him. Thank you. I think that makes 46.
Correct, Your Majesty. Perhaps 50 before you come of age. 50 Nyaks before...
Nepal, come back to the palace immediately. More important things than Nyack hunting now.
But, Uncle...
Do as I say.
What do you want that is so important?
I've been to the ship.
What ship?
There is only one ship. The one the Foundation is repairing for the Navy. The old Imperial cruiser. Do I make myself sufficiently plain?
No, that one... You see, I told you the Foundation would repair it if we asked them to. It was all poppycock, you know, that story of yours about them wanting to attack us.
Leopold, you're a fool.
Well, now, look here. I don't think you ought to call me that. You forget yourself. I'll be of age in 2 months, you know.
And you're in a fine state to assume regal responsibilities. If you spent half the time on public affairs that you spent on hunting, I'd resign the regency now, and with a clear conscience.
Well, I don't care. That has nothing to do with the case. The fact is that even though you are my uncle and the regent, I'm still the king. You oughtn't to call me a fool, and you oughtn't to sit in my presence. You haven't asked my permission.
May I refer to you as your Majesty?
Yes.
Very well. You're a fool, your Majesty. Oh, I'm sorry, Leopold. I shouldn't have spoken harshly, but I know that your youthful spirits are impatient of the dry detail of statecraft.
Well, that's all right.
However, you will come of age in 2 months. Moreover, in the difficult times that are coming, you'll have to take a full and active part. You will be king henceforward, Leopold.
Yes, Uncle.
There will be war, Leopold.
War? But there's been a truce with Smyrna.
Not with Smyrna. With the foundation itself.
But, Uncle, they've agreed to repair the ship. You said...
Leopold, there is to be war with the foundation whether the ship is repaired or not. The foundation is the source of all power and might. All the greatness of Anacreon, its ships, its cities, its people, its commerce, depends on the dribbles and leavings of power that the foundation have given us.
It seems to me we should be grateful.
Grateful? Leopold, you will be king of Anacreon. Your children may be the kings of the universe, if you have the power that the foundation is keeping from us.
Something in that. After all, right of they to keep it to themselves. It's not fair, you know. Anacreon counts for something, too.
It seems that you're beginning to understand. And now, my boy, what if Smyrna decides to attack the foundation on its own part, and thus gains all the power? How long do you think we could escape becoming a vassal state? How long would you hold on to your throne?
You're absolutely right, you know. We must strike first. It's simply self-defense. When do we strike?
Not immediately. First, we must wait for the repairs of the battlecruiser to be completed. The mere fact that they're willing to undertake them proves that they fear us. The fools attempt to placate us. But we are not to be turned from our path, are we?
Not while I'm king of Anacreon.
Besides which, we must wait for Salva Hardin to arrive.
Salva Hardin?
Yes, Lippo. The leader of the foundation is coming to Anacreon himself for your birthday.
Salva Hardin?
You afraid of the name? It's the same Salva Hardin who on his previous visit ground our noses into the dust. You're not forgetting that deadly insult to the royal house from a commoner?
Well, no. I won't forget. We'll pay him back. But I'm afraid a little...
Afraid? Of what? Of what?
It would be sort of blasphemous to attack the Foundation.
Go on.
I mean, if there really were a galactic spirit...
Oh.
Well, it mightn't like it, don't you think?
No, I don't. And so you really bother your head a great deal over the galactic spirit, do you? You've been listening to Verisov.
Well, he did explain a great deal.
About the galactic spirit?
Yes.
Why, he believes in that mummery a good deal less than I do. And I don't believe in it at all. How many times have you been told that all this talk is just nonsense?
Well, I know that, but Verisov...
Verisov says damnation to Verisov. It's nonsense.
Everyone believes it just the same. About the prophet Harry Seldon and how he appointed the foundation to carry on his commandments, that there might someday be a return to the earthly paradise, and how anyone who disobeys his commandments will be destroyed for eternity. They believe in it. I presided at festivals. I'm sure they do.
Yes, they do. But we don't. According to them, you are king by divine right, and are semi-divine yourself. Very handy. It eliminates all possibilities of revolts and ensures absolute obedience in everything. And that is why, Leopold, you must take an active part in ordering the war against the Foundation. I am only regent, and quite human. You are king, and more than half a god.
Am I?
No, not really. But you are to everyone but the people of the Foundation. Once they're out of the way, there'll be no one to deny you the godhead.
And after that, will we ourselves be able to operate the power boxes of the temples and the ships that fly without men and the holy food that cures cancer and all the rest? I mean, very soft, said
very soft, blessings. Ed. Very soft, Mr. Silverharden, is your greatest enemy. Stick with me, Leopold. Don't worry about them. Together we will recreate the empire. Not just the kingdoms of Anacreon, but one comprising every one of the billions of suns of the galaxy. Isn't that better than their earthly paradise?
Yes.
Can't Verisov promise more?
No.
Anywhere. I suppose that we may consider the matter settled, Your Majesty. Now get along. I'll be done later. Oh, just one thing, Leopold.
Yes, Uncle?
And do be careful when you're out hunting. Since your father's unfortunate accident, I have the strangest presentiments. You will be careful, I hope. And you'll do as I say about the foundation, won't you?
Yes, certainly.
Good.
Gentlemen, may I present Louis Bort. Bort, this is Doko Bauto.
How do you do?
And this is Len Taki.
How are you?
Delighted to meet you both. Now, do sit down. You both know how active Bort has been within the party.
Yes, of course.
What you don't know is that for the last 6 months, he has been on Anacreon seeing what he can find out.
I don't have a rosy report for you. In fact, I'm afraid our position is a lost cause.
You think so?
It's gone past Thorpe Summit. There's no room for any other opinion.
Why?
It's the attitude of the people. My original idea was to foster some sort of palace rebellion and install as king someone more favorable to the Foundation. Unfortunately, that's impossible. And Salvor Hardin has seen to that.
How do you mean?
The religion that Hardin and the Foundation has established works. All you see here is a large training school for the priesthood that occasionally puts on a special show for the pilgrims. But that's all. The whole business hardly affects us. But on Anacreon...
What kind of religion is it? Hardin's always said that it was just to get them to accept our science without question.
Hardin's explanations don't always mean much at face value, Taki.
Ethically, morally, it's fine. It scarcely varies from the philosophies of the old empire. But that's not all. It's built on strictly authoritarian lines, and the priesthood has sole control over the instruments we have given Anacreon. They believe in this religion entirely, and in the spiritual value of the power they handle. They form a hierarchy, at the apex of which is the king, who is regarded as a sort of minor god. He's an absolute monarch, and the people believe it completely, as do the priests. You can't overthrow a king like that.
Hold on. You've said that Hardin's done all this. How?
The Foundation has fostered this delusion. We've put all our scientific backing behind this hoax with the side effect that Hardin himself is virtually a god to the Anacreonians. And he's semi-holy, above even their high priest.
Oh, what's Verisov doing there? Is he blind, too? There was a time when he was a convinced actionist.
I don't know what he's doing. He's high priest to them, but he seems to be a figurehead.
There's something odd about it all. Is Hardin such a fool?
Seems to be.
There's something wrong. To cut our own throats so thoroughly and so hopelessly would require colossal stupidity. On the one hand, to establish a religion that would wipe out all chance of internal troubles, and on the other, to arm them. I don't see it.
The matter is a little obscure, but the facts are there. What else can we think?
Outright treason. He's in their pay.
No, I don't see that either. Tell me, Bort. Did you hear anything about a battle cruiser that the Foundation is supposed to have put into shape for the use of the Anacreonian Navy?
No. The Navy yards are religious sanctuaries. No one ever hears anything about the fleet.
Well, rumors have leaked out. Some of the party have brought the matter up in council, and Hardin never denied it. It might have significance.
It's all of a piece with the rest. If true, it's absolutely crazy.
He must have something. Some secret weapon. Oh,
yes, a huge jack-in-the-box that will leap out at the psychological moment and scare Vinus to death. If we have to rely on a secret weapon, we might as well blow ourselves out of existence here and now and save ourselves the agony of suspense.
Then what it boils down to is this. Of course. How much time do we have?
I don't know. They never mention the Foundation. The entire media are given over to the approaching celebrations.
What celebrations?
Leopold comes of age next week.
Well, we have months, then. That gives us time.
It gives us no time at all. I've told you that the king is a god. Do you suppose that he has to carry on a campaign of propaganda to get his people into a fighting spirit? When the time comes, Leopold gives the order and the people fight. He may give the order tomorrow, for all I know.
Servak!
What is it, Nerath? What's happened?
Hardin, going to Anacreon.
What?
It's true. It was on the busycaster just now.
So, Walto. You're right. Hardin sold us out.
That leaves us no choice. I'm going to ask the council tomorrow that Hardin be impeached.
It's going to look bad, Hardin. They're going to say you're sneaking away.
Let them. I've got to get to Anacreon. I want to do it with the minimum of fuss.
You know that Cermak called for your impeachment in the city council yesterday?
He had a perfect right to do so. And nevertheless, his motion was defeated.
Yes. By a majority of 22. And we counted on a minimum of 60.
Oh. It was close.
Very. And after the vote, 59 members of the Actionist Party walked out of the chamber, but not until Cermak had denounced you as a traitor and said that the council had condoned your treason, but that the name of his party wasn't Actionist for nothing. Now, what does that sound like?
Trouble.
And now you're chasing off at daybreak like a criminal. You ought to face them, Hardin. And if you have to, declare martial law.
Violence is the last refuge
of the incompetent. Yes, I know.
Twenty years ago, the Time Vault opened, on the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Foundation. And Harry Seldon gave us our first idea of what was really going on.
I remember. I was there.
Well, that was during our first crisis. This is our second. And 3 weeks from today will be the 70th anniversary of the Foundation. Does that strike you as in any way significant?
You mean he's coming again?
Seldon never said anything about returning, but it's of a piece with the whole plan. He's always done his best to keep all foreknowledge from us. And there's no way of telling whether the radium lock is set for further opening, short of dismantling the vault. I've been there every anniversary since the first appearance, just on the off chance. He's never appeared. But this is the first time since then that there has been a crisis.
Then he'll come.
Maybe, I don't know. But this is what I want you to do. Today's session of the council, just after you announced that I'd left for Anacreon, you will further announce officially that in 3 weeks' time there will be another Harry Seldon recording containing a message of the utmost importance regarding the recently successfully concluded crisis. That's very important.
Right.
Now, don't add anything, no matter how many questions you're asked.
Will they believe it?
Doesn't matter. It will confuse them, which is all I want. Between wondering if it's true and what I mean by it, if it isn't, they'll decide to postpone action at least until the vault opens. I'll be back considerably before then.
Ah, here we are.
Well, goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye.
I hate to leave you in the frying pan like this, but there's no one else I can trust.
Don't worry.
Now, please, keep out of the fire.
Are you enjoying all this? I'm afraid that it is a trifle noisy.
Well, on the contrary, Your Highness. It's all extremely interesting. We have no comparable spectacles on turn.
No doubt. Would you care to come to my private chamber?
Yes.
We have a party.
Glass of wine? Thank you.
Here you are, Hardin.
Thank you. Aleppo the First, King of Anacreon.
And soon to be Emperor of the Periphery.
And further, who knows? The galaxy may even be reunited someday.
Undoubtedly. By Anacreon.
Why not? With the help of the Foundation, our scientific superiority over the rest of the Periphery will be indisputable.
Well, yes, except that, of course, the Foundation's bound to help any nation requests scientific aid. Due to the high idealism of our government and the great moral purpose of our founder, Harry Seldon, we are unable to play favorites.
But the galactic spirit helps those who help themselves. I quite understand that left to itself, the Foundation would never cooperate.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. We repaired the Imperial cruiser for you, even though my board of navigation wanted it for research purposes.
Research purposes? Aye. Yet you would not have repaired it if I had not threatened war.
Oh, I don't know.
I do. Look here, Hardin. You were on Anacreon once before. You were young then. We were both young. But even then we had entirely different ways of looking at things.
You're what they call a man of peace, aren't you?
I suppose I am.
At least I consider violence an uneconomical way of attaining an end.
Yes, I've heard. For myself, I've always believed in carving a straight path to my objective and following that path. I've accomplished much that way and fully expect to accomplish much more.
I know. I believe you're carving such a path for you and your children, considering the unfortunate death of the late king, your elder brother, and the present king's precarious state of health. He is in a precarious state of health, is he not?
You might find it advisable, Hardin, to avoid certain subjects. You may feel that your position as mayor of Terminus gives you a certain license, but you are wrong. I'm not one to be frightened of words. It's been my philosophy of life that difficulties vanish when faced boldly, and I have never turned my back upon one yet.
I don't doubt that. And what particular difficulty are you refusing to turn your back on at the present moment?
The difficulty of persuading the Foundation to cooperate. Your policy of peace has led you into making several very serious mistakes. Not everyone is as afraid of direct action as you are.
For instance?
For instance, you came to Anacreon alone and accompanied me to my chambers alone.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing. Except that outside this room, there are 5 armed guards ready to shoot.
I don't think that you can leave, Arnie.
I have no desire to leave. You then fear me so much?
I don't fear you at all.
But this may serve to impress you with my determination. Shall we call it a gesture?
Call it what you please. I shall not concern myself over the incident, whatever you choose to call it.
I'm sure that that attitude will change with time. But you have made another error, Hardy. A more serious one. It seems that the planet Terminus is almost wholly undefended.
Naturally. What have we to fear? We threaten no one's interests and we serve all alike.
Yet while remaining defenseless, you allow us to arm ourselves with a navy which, since your donation of the Imperial cruiser, is quite irresistible.
Your Highness, you're wasting time. If you mean to declare war, and informing me of the fact, you will allow me to communicate with my government at once.
Sit down, Hardy.
I am not declaring war, and you are not communicating with your government. When the war is fought, not declared, are informed. The Foundation will be informed of it in due time by the atom blasters of the Anacreonian Navy.
When will all this happen?
The ships of the fleet left Anacreon exactly 50 minutes ago, at 2300 hours precisely. And the first shot will be fired as soon as they sight Terminus, which will be at noon tomorrow. You may consider yourself a prisoner of war.
I am disappointed.
Is that all?
I would have thought that the moment of coronation, midnight, would have been the more logical time to have set the fleet in motion, but evidently you wanted to start the war while you were still regent. Would it have been more dramatic the other way?
What are you talking about?
I've set my counterstroke for midnight.
You're not bluffing me. There's no counterstroke. If you're counting on the support of the other kingdoms, forget it. Their navies combined are no match for ours.
I don't intend firing a shot. It's simply that the order was given a week ago that at midnight tonight the planet Anacreon goes under interdict.
Interdict?
Every priest in Anacreon is going on strike, unless I countermand the order. But I can't while I'm being held incommunicado, nor do I wish to, even if I weren't. Do you realize, Your Highness, that an attack on the Foundation is nothing short of sacrilege of the highest order?
Cah! Say that nonsense for the mob.
My dear Finest, whoever do you think I am saving it for? I imagine that for the last half hour, every temple in Anacreon has been the center of a mob listening to a priest exhorting them upon that very subject. There's not a man or woman upon Anacreon that doesn't know that their government has launched a vicious, unprovoked attack upon the center of their religion. You'd better go to the Grand Hall to watch events. Yeah, I'll be quite safe here with 5 guards outside the door.
Silence for the Prince Regent of Anacreon, His Royal Highness, Prince Vinus.
It is almost midnight. The time has at last come for me to relinquish the regency. I present to you your king, Leopold I, by the grace of the galactic spirit, King of Anacreon.
What's happening? Lights!
I congratulate you upon your coronation.
Thank you.
Arden, order your priests back to their jobs.
Order them yourself, Vice. At this moment, there isn't a single wheel turning on Anacreon. There's not a light burning, except in the temples. On the winter half of the planet, there's not a calorie of heat, except in the temples. Not a drop of water running, except in the temples. The hospitals are taking no more patients. Power plants have shut down. All ships are grounded. If you don't like it, Vinus, you could try ordering the priests back to their jobs yourself.
Very well, Arden. I will. If it's to be a showdown, so be it. We'll see if your priests can withstand the art. Tonight, every temple on the planet will be put under supervision.
Very good. But how are you going to give the orders, Every line of communication on the planet shut down. The only communicator on the planet that will work outside the temples, of course, is the televisor right here in this room, and that is fitted only for reception. If you wish, you can order your army into the Argolid Temple just outside the palace, and then use the ultra-wave sets there to contact the rest of the planet. But if you do that, I'm afraid that the army contingents will be cut to pieces by the mob. Then who will protect your palace, Vinus? And your life,
Vinus? We can hold out, Charlie. Let the mob howl and the power die. News comes back that the foundation has been taken. The mob will find out in what a vacuum their religion has been built, and they will desert the priests and turn against them. I give you until noon tomorrow, Arden, because you can't stop my fleet. They're on their way, Arden, and at their head, the great cruiser you yourself ordered repaired.
Yes, the great cruiser I myself ordered repaired, but in my own way.
Huh?
Tell me, Vinus, have you ever heard of an ultra-wave relay?
No.
Well, switch on the televisor. In about 2 minutes, you'll see what it can do to your ship.
Oh.
Would you care to sit down, Your Majesty?
Thank you.
Really,
oh, Vinus, do sit down.
No.
Who are you? What are you doing on the brig of my ship?
I am Theo Apparat, one of the senior priests of Anacreon, and I wish to address your crew.
Tend to yourselves and your blessings, priest. I'll attend to the ship and its crew.
Very well. Restrain him, then.
Don't listen to him, man.
For reception,
you
only.
What do you think you're doing? Get your hands off me this instant.
He is our priest, Admiral, and we must obey him.
And I am...
Silence! Listen to what I have to say.
Silence!
Open all communication channels for me, will you?
I wish to address the ship. Communication channels open, Your Reverence.
Thank you. Soldiers of the royal flagship, it is your priest, Apparat, who speaks to you. Your ship is engaged in sacrilege. Without your knowledge, it is performing such an act as will damn the soul of every man among you. Listen, it is the intention of your admiral to take this ship to the foundation and there to bombard that source of all blessings into submission to his sinful will. And since that is his intention, I, in the name of the galactic spirit, remove him from his command
The Divine King himself may not maintain his kingship without the consent of the Galactic Spirit.
No, this is absolute rubbish.
And oh, God, that's blasphemy.
Shut up. Upon such a devil's errand, the blessing of the Spirit is removed from it as well. In the name of the Galactic Spirit, I curse this ship.
What's happening?
The ship is paralyzed.
Paralyzed? What do you mean?
The chief characteristic of a scientific religion is that its curses really work. A priest on Anacreon operates an ultra-wave relay, and a ship in deep space, fitted out by the Foundation, of course, is rendered helpless. What a curse.
I now order that the one-time Prince Regent Fidus be imprisoned.
What?
And tried before an ecclesiastical court for his crimes.
Rubbish!
Otherwise, the Navy, upon returning to Anacreon, will blast the palace to the ground and take whatever other measures are necessary to destroy the nest of sinners and the den of destroyers of men's souls that now prevails.
There is an old fable, as old perhaps as humanity, for the oldest records containing it are merely copies of other records much older. It might interest you, Vines. A horse, having a wolf as a powerful and dangerous enemy, lived in constant fear of his life. Being driven to desperation, it occurred to him to seek a strong ally. Whereupon he approached a man and offered an alliance, pointing out that the wolf was likewise an enemy of the man. The man accepted the partnership at once and offered to kill the wolf immediately if his new partner would only cooperate by placing his greater speed at the man's disposal. The horse was willing and allowed the man to place bridle and saddle upon him. The man mounted, hunted down the wolf and killed him. The horse, joyful and relieved, thanked the man and said, "Now that our enemy is dead, remove your bridle and saddle and restore my freedom." Whereupon the man laughed loudly and replied, "The hell with you. Giddy up, Dobby." You see the analogy, I hope. In their anxiety to consolidate their position of total domination over their peoples, the kings of the four kingdoms accepted the religion of science that made them divine. But that same religion of science was your bridle and saddle. For it placed the lifeblood of atomic power in the hands of the priesthood, who take their orders from Terminus, not from you. You've killed the wolf, but cannot get rid of the harness.
So I'll finish you yet. You won't escape. Soldiers, shoot him down.
They are wiser than you, Vines.
Shoot him down! Kill him!
Uncle, he's the figurehead of our religion. He's divine.
Daniel, then! Give me your blaster!
Uncle!
Poor Vinus, a man of direct action to the end, the last refuge.
Ah, Lee, you look very worried. What's wrong, man?
I thought you wouldn't get here. Seldon's due to appear at any moment, isn't he?
I certainly hope so.
And what if he doesn't?
You're going to wear me down with your worries all my life, Lee. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
But without Seldon's backing for what we've done, Sermat will be free to start all over again. He wants outright annexation of the Four Kingdoms and immediate expansion of the Foundation by force, if necessary. He's begun his campaign already.
I know. The Fire Eater must eat fire. He only has to kindle it himself. And you, Lee, have got to worry, even if you have to kill yourself to invent something to worry about you.
God, Harley, you were right. He is going to appear.
Then have some respect for Seldon. Be quiet for a little while.
I am Harry Seldon. This is the second time I have been here. Because I don't know if any of you were here the first time. In fact, I have no way of telling by sense perception that there is anyone here at all. But that doesn't matter. If the second crisis has been overcome safely, you are bound to be here. There is no way out. If you are not here, then the second crisis has been too much for you. I doubt that, however, as my figures show a 98.4% probability that there is to be no significant deviation from the plan in the first 70 years. You have now reached domination of the barbarian kingdoms immediately surrounding the Foundation. Just as in the first crisis, you held them off by the use of the balance of power, so now, in the second, you have gained mastery by the spiritual power, as against the temporal. However, I must warn you here against overconfidence. It is not my way to grant you any foreknowledge in these recordings, but it would be safe to indicate that what you have now achieved is merely a new balance, though one in which your position is considerably better. The spiritual power, while sufficient to ward off attacks of the temporal, is not sufficient to attack in return. Because of the inevitable growth of the counteracting force known as regionalism or nationalism, the spiritual power cannot prevail. The neighboring kingdoms, in manpower and resources, are still overwhelmingly powerful when compared with yourselves. Beyond them stretches the vast, tangled jungle of barbarism that extends around the rim of the galaxy. Within that rim, there is still the Galactic Empire, and that, weakened and decaying though it is still incomparably mighty. And never forget that there was another foundation established 70 years ago, a foundation at the other end of the galaxy, at Star's End. Gentlemen, 930 years of the plan stretch ahead of you. The problem is yours.
He didn't say when he'd be back.
I know. But I trust that he won't return until after you and I are safely and cozily dead.
Title: Foundation. Foundation and Empire. Second Foundation. Author, Isaac Asimov. Audio adaptation, Patrick Chow. Part number 2. Part title, The Mares. Salvo Hardin, Lee Montague. Johan Lee, John Hollis. Vinus, Francis DeWolf. Seth Cermak, John Sampson. Verisop, William Fox. Leopold I, Teddy Scully. Theo Apparat, Michael Kilgariff. Doka Walter, William Slay. Harry Seldon, William Eagle. Encyclopedic readout, David Baller. Producer, David Kane. Location, BBC Radiophonic Workshop. Foundation. Foundation and Empire. Second Foundation. Author, Isaac Asimov. Part number 3. Part title, The Merchant Princes. Encyclopedia Galactica 116th edition. Entry, The Traders. Constantly in advance of the political hegemony of the Foundation were the traders, reaching out for tenuous fingerholds through the tremendous distances of the periphery. Through it all, they forged an empire more enduring than the pseudo-religious despotism of the Four Kingdoms. With psycho-historical inevitability, the economic control of the Foundation grew. The traders grew rich, and with riches came power. It is sometimes forgotten that Hober Mallow began life as an ordinary trader. It is never forgotten that he ended it as the first of the merchant princes.
It's something of a puzzle. In fact, and this is in the strictest confidence, it may be another of Harvey Selden's crises.
I don't know about that, Soot. As a general rule, politicians start shouting Selden crisis at every mayoralty campaign.
I'm not campaigning, Mallow. We are facing atomic weapons. We don't know where they're coming from.
Well, go on, if you have more to say, say it.
Very well. Have a look at this star chart. That over there is the Karelian Republic. Now, three trade ships, inviolate under the convention, have disappeared within the territory of the Republic in the last year. And those ships were armed with all the nuclear explosives and force field defenses.
What was the last thing heard from the ship?
Routine reports, nothing else.
What did Corell say?
There was no way of asking. The Foundation's greatest asset throughout the periphery is its reputation for power. Do you think we can lose three ships and ask for them back?
No, I see that.
Well, three ships lost in the same sector in the same year cannot be coincidence. And atomic power can only be conquered by more atomic power. The question automatically arises, if Corell has atomic weapons, where is it getting them from?
And where is it?
Two alternatives. Either the Corellians themselves have constructed them.
Far-fetched.
Very. But the other possibility is that we are being afflicted with a case of treason.
Do you think so?
Oh, there's nothing miraculous about the possibility. Since the Four Kingdoms accepted the Foundation Convention, we've had to deal with considerable groups of dissident populations in each nation.
I see, but what do you want with me?
You're a Sminian. You know the Outlanders. You're a trader and one of the best. You've been to Karel and know the Karelians. And that's where you've got to go.
As a spy?
Not at all. As a trader. But with your eyes open. I want you to find out where the power is coming from.
When do I leave?
When will your ship be ready?
In 6 days.
Then that's when you leave.
But the mayor did allow you to send Mallow out. It's a point.
Oh, but such a small one, Manlio. It gets us nothing immediately. The whole business is the crudest sort of stratagem, since we have no way of foreseeing it to the end.
True. And this Mallow is a capable man?
If there is treachery, we need a capable man to detect the truth. And Mallow will be watched.
Look, Sir, what is worrying you?
I'll tell you, Manlio. We are in the middle of a Selden crisis.
How do you know?
Reason it out. Since the Galactic Empire abandoned the periphery and threw us on our own, we have never had an opponent who possessed atomic power. Now, for the first time, we have one. That seems significant even if it stood by itself, and it doesn't. For the first time in over 70 years, we are facing a major domestic political crisis. I should think the synchronization of the two crises, inner and outer, puts it beyond all doubt.
And you've made your plans to meet this crisis?
Yes.
And am I to play a part in it?
Yes. Before we meet the threat of foreign atomic power, you have got to put our house in order. Now, these traders are useful, but they are too strong and too uncontrolled. They are outlanders, educated apart from religion. On the one hand, we put knowledge into their hands, and on the other, we remove our strongest hold upon them. Now, the cure must come quickly, before the Selden crisis becomes acute. It is obviously your job.
Mine?
I can't do it. As the mayor's secretary, my office is appointed and has no legislative power.
What about the mayor himself?
Impossible. His personality is entirely negative. He is energetic only in avoiding responsibility.
But
if an independent party arose that might endanger re-election, he might allow himself to be led.
Yes, Twer, I have heard of your campaign to get direct trader representation on the council, but why me?
I know what I'm doing. Do you remember when I met you last year at the Traders' Convention?
Yes.
Well, you ran that meeting, Mallow. You've got glamour, or at any rate, solid adventure publicity, which is the same thing.
Very good, but why now?
Because now the Actionist Party is splitting wide open, and we can finish it on a straight question of equal right for traders.
No, I'm sorry, Twer. I'm leaving next week on business. You'll have to get someone else.
Business? What kind of business?
Very super secret. I had a talk with the mayor's own secretary.
Soot! It's a trick. He's getting rid of you, Mallow.
If it's a trick, I'll be back someday for the reckoning. If it isn't, Soot is playing into our hands. Now listen, there's a Selden crisis coming up.
What's a Selden crisis?
What did you do when you went to school?
All right. If you'll just explain.
I'll explain. The future course of the foundation was plotted according to Harry Selden's science of psychohistory, and conditions arranged so as to bring about a series of crises that would force us most rapidly along the route to future empire. Each Selden crisis marks an epoch in our history. We're approaching one now, our third.
Of course. I should have remembered.
Good. And I am being sent into the middle of the development of this crisis. There's no telling what I'll have when I come back, and there is a council election every year.
Are you on the track of something?
No.
Any definite plans?
Not the faintest inkling of one. We must improvise. I tell you what. How about coming with me?
Coming?
You were a trader before you decided there was more excitement in politics. Or so I've heard.
Where are you going?
I can't say until we're out in space. Well?
Suppose Soot wants me where he can see me.
Not likely. If he's anxious to get rid of me, why not you as well?
All right, I'll go. It'll be my first trip in 3 years.
Good. You know where the Firestar docks, don't you?
Yes.
Then I'll see you there tomorrow. Good trading here. Might call this virgin territory.
Mallow, we've been here a week and done nothing at all. The local government won't grant us an audience. There's a guard around the field and there are ships overhead. Suppose they're getting ready to blow us into a hole in the ground.
They've had the week to do that.
Maybe they're waiting for reinforcements.
We're all waiting. They don't know what I'm doing here and I don't know what they've got here. But I'm in a weaker position because I'm one and they're an entire world, maybe with atomic power. I can't afford to be the one to weaken.
All right.
Certainly it's dangerous. Certainly there may be a hole in the ground waiting for us, but we knew that from the start. What else is there to do?
I don't...
Yes, Sergeant?
Pardon, sir. The men have given entry to a Foundation missionary.
A what?
A missionary, sir. He's in need of hospitalization.
He won't be the only one in a few minutes, Sergeant. Order them into battle stations.
Twer, get the officers together, except for the coordinators and the trajectory.
Right.
The men are to remain at stations until further orders.
First, who let this man in without orders from me?
Pardon, sir, it was no definite person. It was a sort of mutual agreement. It was one of us, as you might say, and these foreigners, well, I'm afraid...
These men, were they under your command?
Yes, sir.
When this is over, they are to be confined to individual quarters for a week. You yourself are relieved of all supervisory duties for a similar period. Understood?
Yes, sir.
And now, get back to your gun stations.
Very good, sir.
Why the punishment, Mallow? You know the Corellians kill captured missionaries.
Where is this missionary? Get him in here.
Yes, sir.
An action against my orders is bad in itself, whatever reasons there may be in its favor. No one was to leave or enter the ship without permission. What's your name? Your name, revered one.
My son, my children,
May you always be in the protecting arms of the galactic spirit.
The man's sick, Mallow. Order him to bed and let him have attention.
Don't interfere, Twer, or I'll have you out of the room. Your name, revered one.
I am George Palmer of the Anacreonian Worlds. Educated at the Foundation. The Foundation itself, my children. As you are children of the spirit, protect me.
Enemy units in sight.
Maintain vigil. That is all. Someone turn on the televisor.
Very good, sir. There's thousands of them.
Lieutenant Trinter, get the outer speaker working and find out what they want. Ask if they have a representative of the law with them.
Yes, sir.
Mallow, you're bound to hold on to this man. He's of the Foundation and he's a priest. Those savages outside. Do you hear me?
I hear you, Twer. I've got more to do here than to guard missionaries. I'll do, sir, what I please. And if you try to stop me, I'll throttle you. Are you... revered Palmer.
My son.
Did you know that by convention, no Foundation missionary may enter Corellian territory?
I can go but where the spirit leads, my son. If the darkened ones refuse enlightenment, is it not the greatest sign of their need for it?
That's outside the question. You are here against the law of both Corell and the Foundation. I cannot, in law, protect you.
You hear them? What do you call a law to me? A law made by man. There are higher laws. Was it not the galactic spirit that said, even as thou dealest with the humble and defenseless, thus shalt thou be dealt with?
Sir.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Sir, they demand the person of George Palmer.
And if not?
There are various threats, sir. It's difficult to make much out. There's someone who says he governs the district and has police powers, but he's quite evidently not his own master.
A master or not, he is the law. Tell them that if he approaches the ship alone, he can have the revered George Palmer. Quiet! I don't know what insubordination is. I have never had any experience with it. But if there's anyone here who thinks he can teach me, I'd like to teach him my antidote in return. All right, send him out.
Cursed be the traitor who abandoned his fellow man to evil and death. Deafened be the ears of the deaf and the pleading of the helpless.
Disperse to respective stations. Maintain full vigil for 6 hours after dispersal of crowd. Double stations for 48 hours thereafter. Further instructions at that time. Twer, come with me.
All right, sit down, Twer. Your 3 years in politics seem to have got you out of trader habits. You have no official position. You're here on my invitation, and I'll extend you every courtesy in private. But in the presence of my officers and men, I am Sir and not Mallow. And when I give an order, you'll jump faster than a third-class recruit, or I'll have you in irons, understand?
My apologies.
Accepted. It's just that it's difficult to send a man out to be lynched. That governor can't save him. It's murder. Really? Didn't you notice anything?
Notice what?
This spaceport is deep in the middle of a sleepy fire section. Suddenly a missionary escapes. Where from? He comes here. Coincidence? A huge crowd gathers. From where? The nearest city of any size must be at least 100 kilometers away. But they arrive in half an hour. How? What if the missionary were brought here and released as bait? Our friend revered Palmer was considerably confused. He seemed at no time to be in complete possession of his wits. Yes?
Sir, communication received.
Submitted immediately. Palmer was here against the laws of Corell and the Foundation. If I'd withheld him, it would have been an act of war against Corell, and the Foundation would have had no legal right to defend him.
Good theory. Where's the proof?
Half an hour after we hand back the missionary, we finally get a very polite invitation to the Condor's august presence, after 7 days of previous waiting. I think that's proof enough.
There is no ostentation here, Trader Mallow. In me, you see merely the first citizen of the state. And that's what Commodore means. And that's the only title I have.
It is fortunate that I have you to deal with, then, Commodore. The despots and monarchs of surrounding worlds, which haven't the benefit of enlightened administration, often lack the qualities that make a ruler well-beloved.
as I believe you are called by your fellow citizens.
Thank you. But to which qualities did you refer?
Your concern for the best interests of your people. Up to now, trade between our two nations has suffered because of the restrictions placed upon our traders by your government. Surely it has long been evident to you that unlimited trade...
Free trade.
Yes, free trade, then. Well, surely you must see that it would be of mutual benefit. There are things that you have that we want, and things that we have that you want.
But your people have always been so unreasonable.
Oh.
I am in favor of all the trade our economy can support, but not on your terms. I am not sole master here. I'm only the servant of public opinion, and my people would not accept a commerce which sparkled in crimson and gold.
A compulsory religion.
So it has always been, in effect.
None of what you speak is at all what I suggest.
No?
No, I am a master trader. Money is my religion. All this mysticism and hocus-pocus of the missionaries annoys me.
Well said. The Foundation should have sent a man of your caliber before. But you've only told me half. You've told me what the catch is not. Now tell me what it is.
The only catch, Commodore, is that you are going to be burdened with an immense quantity of riches.
Indeed. And what would I want with riches? The true wealth is the love of one's people. And I have that.
You could have both. For it is possible to gather gold with one hand and love with the other.
Now, that would be an interesting phenomenon. How would you go about it?
Oh, in a number of ways. The difficulty is choosing amongst them. Let's see. Well, luxury items, for instance. This object here, now.
What is it?
Can you fetch me a girl? Any young female will do. And a full-length mirror.
Let's go indoors.
Perfectly. Now, just fasten this chain around your waist.
Well, is that all?
Will you close the shutters, Commodore? Now, young lady, there's a small switch here just by the clasp. Will you move it upwards, please? Go ahead, it won't hurt you.
Oh, it's amazing. Astounding.
Isn't it?
Though the aurora borealis had been torn out of the sky and molded into a cloak.
How poetic, Commodore. Turn it off now, my dear. Push the switch down gently. It's yours, Commodore. A gift for the Condor.
Take it to her, my dear.
My lord.
How is it done?
That's a question for our technical experts. But it will work for you without priestly help.
But what could you do with it? Where does the money come in?
You have receptions, banquets, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Do you realize what women will pay for that sort of jewelry? A fortune.
Ah.
And since the power unit of this particular item will not last longer than 6 months, there will be the necessity of frequent replacements. Now, we can sell as many of these as you want for the equivalent in wrought iron of 1,000 credits. You should be able to make about 900% profit on the deal.
I see.
And that's not all. We have a complete range of household goods, almost anything you like. Think of your increased popularity if you make them available to the public. Think of your increased quantity of worldly goods if they're available through a government monopoly with 900% profit. It'll be worth many times the money to the people, and they needn't know what you pay for it. Everybody will be happy.
Except you. What do you get out of it?
Just what every trader gets by Foundation law. Half of whatever profits we take in.
What did you say you wanted to be paid in?
That and coal and bauxite and nothing you haven't already got enough of.
Sounds well.
I think so. Oh, and still another item at random, Commodore. I could retool your factories. Well, take your steel foundries. I have handy little gadgets that could cut costs to 1% of previous marks. I could show you exactly what I mean if you'd allow me a demonstration. You do have a steel foundry in this city. It wouldn't take long.
It could be arranged, Trader Mallow, but tomorrow. tomorrow. Would you dine with us tonight?
Thank you.
A symbolic friendly union of our nations. It will give us a chance for further friendly discussion.
Mallow, there's trouble, isn't there?
Trouble? No, quite the opposite. In fact, I'm in the position of throwing my full weight against a door and finding it was already open. We're getting into this steel foundry too easily.
You suspect a trap?
Don't be melodramatic. It's just that the easy entrance means that there will be nothing to see.
No atomic power. We've seen no evidence of it so far, and it would be pretty hard to mask all signs of the widespread effect it would have.
Not if it was just starting up and being applied to a war economy. Then you'd find it in the shipyards and the steel foundries only.
So if we don't find it there?
Then they haven't got it. Or they're deliberately not showing it. Take your pick.
Ah, as I said, the instrument is dangerous, but so is a buzzsaw. You just have to keep your fingers away. Just one more demonstration. May I have those two short lengths of piping? Thank you. Now, test that pipe. It's one piece now. Not perfect, naturally. The joining shouldn't be done by hand.
Twer, look.
What?
The blasters the guards are wearing.
They're atomic.
I know that, but look at the symbol on the butts. The spaceship and sun.
Well?
The spaceship and sun is the symbol of the Empire, Twer. Here in the periphery, after a century and a half, the Empire is emerging again.
You are acting captain of the Firestar until I return. Or forever.
Very good, sir.
This envelope contains the exact coordinates where you will wait for me for 2 months. If before the 2 months are up, the Foundation locates you, this microfilm is my report of the trip. If, however, I do not return at the end of 2 months, and Foundation vessels do not locate you, return to Terminus and hand in this time capsule as the report. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
At no time are you or any of the men to amplify in any single instance my official report.
If we are questioned, sir?
Then you know nothing.
Yes, sir.
Is my lifeboat ready?
Yes, sir.
Good. Then I'll be away in 10 minutes.
Good morning.
Your door was open.
There is no need to keep it closed. Do you wish anything of me?
Yes.
May I sit?
If the chairs will hold you.
Thank you. My name is Hober Mallow.
I am Onum Bar, and one-time partition of the Empire.
Then this is Suwanna. I had only old maps to guide me.
They must have been old indeed for star positions to be misplaced.
All I really need are directions to the center of government.
Do you mean the capital of the planet or the capital of the Imperial Sector?
Are they the same? Didn't you say that this was Suwanna?
Suwanna, yes. But Suwanna is no longer the capital of the Noanic Sector.
Is the new capital far off?
It's on Osho 2, 20 parsecs off. Your map will direct you if it's not too old.
Well, 150 years.
That old? Yeah. History has been crowded since then. Do you know any of it?
I'm afraid I don't.
You're fortunate.
Oh?
It's been an evil time for the provinces. Ruin and rebellion.
You sound as if the province were impoverished.
Compared to the wealth of the last century, we have gone a long way downhill. But why are you so interested in that, young man?
I'm a trader out here. I found some old maps, and I'm out to open new markets. Naturally, talk of impoverished planets disturbs me.
Are you a trader? You look more like a fighting man. There is a scar on your jawbone.
There isn't much law where I come from. Fighting and scars are part of a trader's overheads. Now, will I find enough money here to make it worth my while? I take it I can find the fighting easily enough.
Easily enough. You could join our present gracious viceroy. Gracious by right of murder, pillage, and rapine.
That's not very friendly to the Viceroy, Patrician Barr. Supposing I'm one of his spies.
What if you are? What can you take?
Your life?
It would leave me easily enough. It had been with me 5 years too long. When Siena was the provincial capital, I was a patrician and member of the provincial senate. My family was an old and honored one. One of my great-grandfathers had been... No, never mind that. Past glories are poor feeding.
I take it there was a civil war or revolution.
Civil wars are chronic in these degenerate days. Our last viceroy aimed at the imperial purple. He wasn't the first to aim, and if he'd succeeded, he wouldn't have been the first to succeed, but he failed. For, as the Emperor's admiral approached the province to subdue him, we rebelled. The viceroy was driven out, and the planet, and with it the province, were thrown open to the admiral with every gesture of loyalty. But he wanted the glory of conquering a rebellious province. So, while the people were still gathered in every large city, cheering the Emperor and the Empire, he occupied all armed centers and ordered the population put to the atom blast.
On what pretext?
On the pretext that they had rebelled against their viceroy, the Emperor's anointed. And the admiral became the new viceroy by virtue of 1 month of massacre, pillage, and complete horror. I had 6 sons. 5 died variously. I had a daughter. I hope she died too. I escaped because I was old. I came here. They left me nothing because I had helped to drive out a rebellious viceroy and deprived an admiral of his glory.
What of your 6th son?
He is safe. He has joined the viceroy under an assumed name. He is a gunner in his personal fleet. He visits me when he can and gives me what he can. He keeps me alive. And someday, our great and glorious viceroy will grovel to his death. And it will be my son who will be his executioner.
And you tell this to a stranger. You endanger your son.
No. I help him by introducing a new enemy. No danger ever threatened us from the broken edge of the galaxy until you came.
I? Well, I'm no danger.
There will be more after you. I knew you when you entered. You have a force shield about your body, or had when I first saw you.
Yes, I had.
I was a scholar, and I know that in all the history of atomics, no portable force shield was ever invented. We do have force shields, huge, lumbering powerhouses that would protect a ship, or even a city, but not one single man.
I say nothing, but I would like to ask you something. Does Siena possess atomic power? I know it possesses the knowledge of atomics, but are its power generators intact, or did the recent sack destroy them?
Destroy them? No, no. Half a planet would be wiped out before the smallest power station would be touched. They are irreplaceable, and the suppliers of the strength of the fleet. We have the largest and best on this side of Tranter itself.
What would I do if I wanted to see one of these generators?
Nothing. You couldn't approach any military center without being shot down instantly.
You mean all the power stations are under the military?
Oh, there are small city stations, the ones supplying power for heating and lighting and powering vehicles and so forth. They are controlled by the tech.
Who are they?
A special group which supervises the power plants. The honor is hereditary.
I see.
I don't say that there aren't cases where tech men have been bribed, but it would require a great deal of money, and I have none. Have you?
Money? No. But does one always bribe with money?
Now, my man, quickly. I've got work to do. You seem a stranger.
I am not of the neighborhood, but that is irrelevant. I had the honor to send you a little gift yesterday.
I received it. An interesting little trifle. I may have a use for it on occasion.
I have other and more interesting gifts,
quite out of the trifle stage.
Oh, I think I see the course of the interview. It's happened before. You're going to give me a few credits, a cloak, second-hand jewelry, anything your little soul may consider sufficient to bribe a tech man. And I know what you want in exchange. You wish to be adopted into our clan. You wish to be taught the mysteries of atomics. Do you think that I would betray my trust? The Suanese traitors that preceded me, perhaps. But you're dealing with a different breed now. I'm surprised that I don't kill you myself. Now, with my bare hands.
You are wrong on three counts. First, I am not one of the Viceroy's spies come to test your loyalty. Second, my gift is something the Emperor himself, in all his splendor, does not and will never possess. And third, what I require in return is very little, a nothing, a mere breath.
Something the Emperor doesn't have.
I have waited 3 days to see you, Your Wisdom, but the display will take only 3 seconds. If you will draw your blaster and shoot me, I should be obliged.
What?
If I am killed, you can tell the police that I tried to bribe you into betraying state secrets. If I am not killed, you may have my shield. Does the Emperor have a personal force shield? You can have one.
Where did you get that?
What do you care? Do you want it? There it is.
Is it complete?
Complete.
Ah, and what if I shoot you now and keep the shield?
Do you think I gave you my only sample?
And what is this nothing that you require in return?
I want to see the generators.
You realize that it is forbidden.
I merely want to see them.
And if I refuse?
You have your shield, but I have a blaster especially designed to pierce that shield.
Very well.
Generators are in your hands?
Every one.
And you keep them running and in order?
Right.
And if they break down?
They don't break down. They were built for eternity.
Eternity is a long time. But just suppose. Suppose I were to fuse a vital connection or smash a quartz D-tube.
You would be killed.
Yes, I know that. But what about the generator? Could you repair it?
Sir, you've seen what you asked for. Now leave. I owe you nothing more.
Well, Lieutenant, you can return the microfilm and the time capsule. I'm glad you didn't need to turn them over to Terminus.
I'm just glad to turn over command of the ship to you again, sir.
Good. Set course for the Foundation.
Be glad to be back home, Lalo.
I am, Gile, I am.
You've been working for a long time. You must need a rest.
Maybe I do, but I'd rather rest in a council seat. I'm going to have that seat, Gile, and you're going to help me. You don't think much of my chances, do you?
Well, frankly, no. Terrene Soot is the cleverest politician on the planet, and he'll be against you. And he fights hard and dirty.
I've got money.
That helps. But it'll take a lot.
I'll have a lot.
Well, I'll do what I can, but don't say that I encouraged you.
Geraint Soot to see you, sir.
Well, very well. Show him in. Quick, Giles, into the next room and turn the speaker down to low. I want you to listen.
All right.
Sit down, Soot.
Thank you.
Now then,
if you'll state your terms to begin with, we'll get straight to business.
Terms?
You wish to be coaxed. Well then, what did you do on Carell?
You have my report.
It was incomplete.
You were satisfied with it at the time.
Yes, but since then your activities have been significant. We know what you're doing, Mallow.
You know how many factories you're putting up, in what a hurry you're doing it, and how much it's costing you. And this palace you have, which sets you back considerably more than my annual salary.
So, beyond proving that you have capable spies, what else does it prove?
It proves that you have money you didn't have a year ago. Where are you getting it?
My dear Sutch, you can't really expect me to tell you.
I don't.
I didn't think you did. That's why I'm going to. It's straight from the treasure chests of the Commodore of Corel.
What?
Unfortunately for you, the money is quite legitimate. I am a master trader, and 50% of any profit is mine by hide-bound contract with the Foundation. The other half goes to the government at the end of the year when all good citizens pay their taxes.
There was no mention of any trade agreement in your report.
Nor was there any mention of what I had for breakfast or the name of my current mistress or any other irrelevant detail. I was sent, to quote yourself, to keep my eyes open. I followed orders. But beyond that, I was and still am a free agent. According to the laws of the Foundation, a master trader may open whatever new markets he can and receive therefrom half of the profits.
It is the general custom of all traders to advance the religion of their trade.
I adhere to law and not to custom.
Look, Mallow, this goes beyond money or markets. We have the science of the great Harry Seldon to prove that upon us depends the future empire of the galaxy. And we cannot turn from the course that leads to the Imperium. And the all-important instrument towards that end is our religion. The primary reason for the development of trade and traders was to introduce and spread this religion more quickly.
I know the theory. I understand it entirely.
Do you? It's more than I expected. Then you understand, of course, that your attempt to trade for its own sake can only end with the overthrow and complete negation of the policy that has worked successfully for a century.
And time enough, too, for a policy outdated, dangerous, and impossible. However well your religion has succeeded in the Four Kingdoms, scarcely another world has accepted it. There isn't a ruler in the periphery that wouldn't sooner cut his throat than let a priest of the Foundation enter his territory. I don't propose to force Corel or any other world to accept something I know they don't want. If atomic power makes them dangerous, a sincere friendship through trade will be many times better than an insincere overlordship based on fear and hate.
Very nicely put. So, to get back to the original point of the discussion, what are your terms?
Can you offer me more than I'm getting at the moment?
You could have 3/4 of your trade profits rather than half.
The whole of the trade on your terms would fall far below a 10th share on mine. Try harder than that.
You could have a council seat.
I shall have that anyway, without and despite you.
You could also save yourself a prison term of 20 years.
What's the charge?
Murder.
Murder? Whose?
The murder of an Anacreonian priest in the service of the Foundation.
Is that so? And what's your evidence?
Mallow, I'm not bluffing. The preliminaries are over. I have only to sign one final paper and the case is begun. Now you have 5 seconds to prevent the punishment due to you. For myself, I'd rather you decided to bluff it out. You'd be safer as a destroyed enemy than as a doubtfully converted friend. Very well.
It was the mayor who wished the preliminary attempt at compromise. Not I. Witness that I didn't try too hard.
Well, Giles, what do you make of it?
Well, it's my notion that his ultimate aims aren't spiritual. I was fired from the cabinet for arguing on the same issue.
And what do you think those unspiritual aims are?
Well, suppose one ambitious man uses the force of religion against us rather than for us.
You mean Soot?
That's right, I mean Soot. Listen, if he could mobilize the various hierarchies on the subject planets against the Foundation in the name of orthodoxy, what chance would we stand? As Harlin said, an atom blaster is a good weapon, but it can point both ways.
All right then, Giles. Get me in that council and I'll fight him.
And when? Maybe not. What was all that about murdering a priest? It isn't true, is it?
No, that's true enough.
Well, it's bad.
Bad? What's bad about it? According to the Foundation's own laws, that priest was illegally on Carell. All I did was to hand him over.
Well, no, you've missed the point. Soot isn't out to convict you. He knows he can't do that. But if the people think that you threw a priest to the dogs, your popularity is gone and you will never get elected to a council seat.
So,
I'll stand by you, but I can't help. You're on the spot. Dead center.
You cut it fine. You got the recording?
Here, take it. It's everything you ask for.
Good. How are they taking it outside?
There's lynch talk. And Publius Manlius' men on the outer planets are all...
I wanted to ask you about that, Gile. He's stirring up the hierarchy against me, isn't he?
It's the sweetest setup you ever saw. As Foreign Secretary, he handles the prosecution in a case of interstellar law. As High Priest of the Church, he rouses the fanatics.
Forget it. You remember that Hardin quote you threw at me last month about the atom blaster?
Yeah.
Well, we'll show them that it can point both ways.
Well, I only hope you're right.
Sit here and watch the fun.
Right.
Be seated at the court. Over Mallow, have you anything to say in your defense?
Gentlemen, to save time, I will admit the truth of every point made against me by the prosecution. However, the picture they presented fell short of completion. I ask the privilege of supplying the completion in my own fashion. I begin at the same time as the prosecution, the day of my meetings with Geraint Soot and Jaime Twer. The events of that day were strange. Consider. Firstly, Soot, secretary to the mayor, asks me to play the part of an intelligence agent for the government in a highly confidential matter. Secondly, Twer, a self-styled leader of a political party, asks me to run for a council seat. Now, what were their motives? Consider again. Twer presents himself as a trader, retired into politics. Yet I know of no details of his trading career, although my knowledge of the field is immense. And further, although Twer boasted of a lay education, he had never heard of a Selden crisis. Now, gentlemen, you all know there is only one type of education upon the Foundation that excludes all mention of the psycho-history of Selden and deals only with him as a semi-mystical wizard. I knew at that instant that Jaime Twer had never been a trader. I knew then that he was a fully-fledged priest and the bought man of Geraint Soot. I didn't know Soot's purposes with regard to myself, but since he seemed to be feeding me rope liberally, I handed him a few fathoms of my own. I invited Twer to come with me on my mission, and he accepted. That, gentlemen of the council, explains two things. First, that Twer is not testifying against me reluctantly, as the prosecution would have you believe. He is a spy, performing his paid job. And second, it explains a certain action of mine when I interviewed the priest who I'm alleged to have murdered, an action as yet unmentioned because unknown. I got rid of Twer for a moment by sending him out for my officers. In his absence, I set up an audiovisual recorder so that whatever happened might be preserved for future study. With your permission, I am now going to show you a single moment from that record. For some strange reason, the prosecution has made no mention throughout these entire proceedings of the revered George Palmer. The prosecution has advanced no details concerning George Palmer because it cannot. There never was a George Palmer. Playback, please.
Outside the question, you are here against the law of both Carell and the Foundation. I cannot, in law,
a fast run.
Yes.
Slower. And stop. Run back slowly. Slowly. Stop. Now, focus in on Palmer's hand. Closer.
onto that bright spot. Fine. Now, gentlemen, I had flooded the control room in ultraviolet light. Those glowing letters, an admittedly naive method of secret identification, are invisible in ordinary light, but stand out in high relief under ultraviolet. Perhaps some of you have already guessed what KSP stands for. Where George Palmer learned his job, I cannot say. But KSP stands for Corellian Secret Police. I have collateral proof in the form of documents brought from Corell, which I can present to the council if required. And where now is the prosecution's case? They have already made the monstrous suggestion that I should have fought for the missionary in defense of the law and sacrificed my mission, my ship, and myself to the honor of the Foundation. But to do it for an impostor, would Geraint Soot and Publius Manlio have had me fall into such a stupid, odious trap?
Mallow, you put on a beautiful show, so don't spoil it now. You can't seriously consider running for mayor. Mob enthusiasm is a powerful thing, but it's notoriously fickle.
Exactly, so we must coddle it, and the best way to do that is to continue the show.
Now what?
You're to have Publius Manlio and Geraint Soot arrested.
What?
You heard, have them arrested. I control the mob, for today at any rate.
On what charge?
On the obvious one. They've been inciting the priesthood on the outer planets to take sides in the factional quarrels of the Foundation. Charge them with endangering the state. Just get them out of circulation till I'm mayor.
But it's 6 months till election time.
Not too long. Listen, I'd seize the government by force if I had to. There's still that Selden crisis coming up. And when it comes, I have to be both mayor and high priest.
What's it going to be? Corell, after all?
Of course. They'll declare war eventually.
With atomic ships?
What do you think? Those three merchant ships we lost in their sector weren't knocked out by compressed air pistols. They're getting ships from the Empire itself.
Empire?
It's still there, you know. It may be gone here in the periphery, but in the galactic center, it's still very much alive. I know, I went there. I saw that atomic plants. Anyway, I'm the only man who knows how to fight the crisis.
Oh. What are you going to do?
Nothing.
What?
I'm going to do nothing. 100% nothing. That is the secret of the crisis.
My gracious lord has finally come to a decision upon the fate of the Foundation upstarts.
Indeed. And what more does your versatile understanding embrace?
Enough, my noble husband. You've had another of your endless consultations with your counselors.
And who is the excellent source from which your understanding understands all this?
What does it matter? Why don't you attack now? One ship from the Empire would be enough to blast their planet to rubble, and I know you have five.
I couldn't attack that planet even with a dozen.
And how long would their planet hold out with their trade ruined and their cargoes of toys and trash destroyed?
Those toys and trash mean money. A good deal of money.
But if you had the Foundation, you would have all it contained. It's been 3 years since that barbarian came with his magic sideshow. It's long enough.
I lack the resilience to withstand your rattling mouth. You say you know I have decided. Well, I have. There is war between Corell and the Foundation.
I'll give you your chance, Soot. I don't need you, but I can use you. So I'll tell you what it's all about, and then you can either join me and receive a place in a coalition cabinet, or you can play the martyr and rot in jail.
You've tried that once before.
Not very hard. The right time has only just come. Now listen. This is a Selden crisis we're facing, and Selden crises are not solved by individuals, but by historic forces. The solutions to the various crises must be achieved by the forces that become available to us at the time. In this case, trade.
I hope that I'm not of subnormal intelligence. But the fact is that your vague lecture is not very illuminating.
Then let us become very simple and specific. Corell is now at war with us. Consequently, our trade with her has stopped. But in the past 3 years, she has based her economy more and more upon the atomic techniques which we introduced and which only we can continue to supply. Now, what do you suppose will happen once the tiny atomic generators begin to fail? And one gadget after another goes out of commission? The small household appliances will go first. After half a year of this stalemate, a woman's atomic knife won't work anymore. Her cooker begins to fail. Her washer doesn't do a good job.
And is that what you're pinning your hopes on? A housewife's rebellion? A sudden uprising of butchers and grocers?
No, of course I'm not. I expect, however, a general background of grumbling and dissatisfaction, which will be seized on by more important figures later on.
And what more important figures are these?
The manufacturers, factory owners, and industrialists. After 2 years of stalemate, the machines in the factories will begin to fail. Those industries which we have changed to atomics will find themselves very suddenly ruined.
The factories ran well enough before you went there, Mallow.
Yes, Soot, so they did, at about 1/20th of the profits. With the industrialist and the financier and the average man all against him, how long do you think the Commodore can last?
As long as he pleases. As soon as it occurs to him to get new atomic generators from the Empire...
You missed everything, Soot, and understood nothing. Look, the Empire can replace nothing. The Empire has always been a realm of colossal resources. They've calculated everything in planets, in stellar systems, in whole sectors of the galaxy. Their generators are gigantic because they thought in gigantic fashion. Our generators have had to be the size of our thumb because it was all the metal we could afford. This whole war is a battle between those two systems, between the big and the little. To seize control of a world, they bribe with immense ships that can wage war, but lack all economic significance. We, on the other hand, bribe with little things useless in war, but vital to prosperity and profits. And it's still the little things in life that count, Soot. And Asper won't be able to stand up against the economic depression that will sweep all Corell within 2 or 3 years.
Oh. You are not the man.
You still don't believe me.
I don't trust you. There's nothing straight about you, no motive that hasn't another behind it, no statement that hasn't 3 meanings.
You mean there'll be no compromise?
I mean, you must get out, by free will or by force.
I warned you of the only alternative to cooperation.
And I warn you, Hobomalo of Smyrno, that if you arrest me, there'll be no quarter. My men will stop nowhere in spreading the truth about you. And the common people of the Foundation will unite against their foreign ruler. They have a consciousness of destiny that a Smenian can never understand. And that consciousness will destroy you.
You've made a martyr for the cause. What next?
It was not the Soot I used to know. He's completely blinded by hatred for me.
All the more dangerous, then.
Dangerous? Nonsense. He's lost all power of judgment.
You're overconfident, Mather. You're ignoring the possibility of a popular rebellion.
Once and for all, Giles, there is no possibility of a popular rebellion.
You're sure of yourself.
I'm sure of the Seldon crisis and the historical validity of its solutions, externally and internally. To paraphrase that famous Salvor Hardin quote of yours, it's a poor atom blaster that won't point both ways. If Corell prospered with our trade, so did we. If Corellian factories fail without our trade, so will our factories fail and our prosperity vanish. And there isn't a factory, not a trading center, not a shipping line that isn't under my control, that I couldn't squeeze to nothing if Soot attempts revolutionary propaganda. So, by the same reasoning which makes me sure that the Corellians will revolt in favor of prosperity, I am sure that we will not revolt against it. The game will be played out to the end.
So you're establishing a plutocracy. You're making us a land of traders and merchant princes. Then what of the future?
What business of mine is the future? No doubt Selden has foreseen it and prepared against it. There will be other crises in the time to come when the power of money has become as dead a force as the power of religion is now. Let my successors solve those new problems as I have solved the one of today.
Encyclopedia Galactica, 116th edition, entry, Corel. After 3 years of a war, which was certainly the most unfought war on record, the Republic of Corel surrendered unconditionally. Hober Mallow took his place next to Hari Selden and Salvor Hardin in the hearts of the people of the Foundation. Title, Foundation. Foundation and Empire, Second Foundation. Author, Isaac Asimov. Audio adaptation, Patrick Tull. Part number 3. Part title, The Merchant Princes. Hover Mallow, Julian Glover. Geraint Soot, Anthony Jackson. Anchor Jaya, Peter Williams. Commodore Asser, Fraser Carr. Giant Twer, Robin Brown. Lysia, Gail McFarlane. Onumba, Douglas Blackwell. Tech Man, David Goodison. Encyclopedic Readout, David Baller. Producer, David Kane. Location, BBC Radiophonic Workshop.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy what I'm doing, I ask you to please subscribe to my channel or channels. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, peace.